news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop doing this
now. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
That is working for the up. objectives of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
Television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
'Cause a new day. Stop.
long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much business to tend to. 1-877-920 WGNU. That is my long distance number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. An amazing show today. You know what? We do a lot of that. We do a lot of that here on the Wake Up Call. An amazing show today in the 9 o'clock hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to do something. We're going to give you a little something, something in the 9 o'clock hour. The executive director of the American Humanist Association. The Supreme Court gives the executive branch a free pass to violate the First Amendment to the Supreme Court because there was a ruling that you cannot sue the government and you cannot keep church and state separate. The executive director, Roy Speckhart, of the American Humanist Association is going to be joining us this morning to talk about that recent Supreme Court's decision. The Supreme Court is in the news today. Why is it in the news today? Why will it be in the news tomorrow? Because this is the last week of their session. They've got to decide everything, and a huge case, a huge issue that they're going to be deciding is the issue of color in schools. Whether or not school districts across this country can make decisions based upon race. Can you make a decision as a district? We're going to do this in order to to keep segregation from happening in a school district. The Supreme Court is being asked to say no to that because it's about race. We can't make any decisions about race. We can't make any decisions based on somebody's skin color. And guess who the swing vote is? This is the crazy world that we live in. The swing vote is Justice Kennedy, who is opposed to affirmative action. So put your bets down, folks. How you think that's going to go? How you think that's going to go? So in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about one of those decisions that the Supreme Court made. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, it's Justice for Reggie Thursday. Justice for Reggie Thursday. Shamala Rogers is going to be joining us on Justice for Reggie Thursday. And we're going to be doing a recap of a number of different issues that we have to address out here. So we're going to be doing that this morning on Justice for Reggie Thursday. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, Eye on the Lou, Irene J. Smith will be joining me along with Tom Sullivan and Fred Lindecki. We're going to be talking about the ballpark subsidy and a new article that appeared in the St. Louis Journalism Review. Fred Lindecki and Tom Sullivan is going to be joining us this morning. on Eye on the Lou. It's going to be a full day. It's going to be an amazing day. It's going to be something, 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 something. It's going to be an amazing, amazing day. And I want to share a story with you before we have to go to our next break here. I want to share a story about I don't know, it just feels like deja vu all over again. Deja vu all over again. Remember back in the 80s? Our soldiers that came back from the Gulf War, they start experiencing these medical phenomena. And I don't mean good ones. I mean ones that that destroyed their lives, gave birth to deformed babies. Medical illnesses that were mysterious and untreatable and unfigureoutable. These illnesses soon had a name called the Gulf War Syndrome. I was one of the first people in the 90s to talk about with a nurse Nurse Riley about this Gulf War syndrome and its consequences and its cause, tracking it back to the Gulf War. I have not been a big fan of Colin Powell for years. Everybody has been just so in love with Colin. Love the Colin, love the Colin. Okay, got it. But I will never forget, and this is before he got up there and told those big, bold lies in front of the UN about nuclear bombs and mushrooms and we know where the weapons of mass destruction are, blah, 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 lie, blah, blah, lie, blah, blah, lie, 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 blah, blah, lie. This is before Colin Powell did that. I remember Colin Powell saying, looking these soldier boys and girls in the face, saying, that Gulf War syndrome stuff is all in your head. Explain that to my baby who was born without limbs. Tell him that that's in his head, too. Well, there's a new deal in town, ladies and gentlemen. An alarming number of U.S. troops are having severe reactions to some of the vaccines they receive in preparation for going overseas. This is the worst cover-up in the history of the military, said one military health officer who fears for his job. A shot from a syringe is leaving some U.S. service men and women on the brink of death. Lance Corporal David Fay, 20 years old. He has dialysis 3 days a week. That's a lot of dialysis. 3 days a week. His kidneys are failing. His military career is over, and he's 20 years old. That's a baby. That's a baby. And he feels like his country has abandoned him. I can't look at my old pictures. I really can't. I start looking at my old pictures and I start crying. I bet you are. You're 20 years old. You just left becoming a teenager. I bet you are. I never missed a day at school, he said. I was never sick. I was never sick. I was never sick. He was an athlete when he was in high school just what? 3 years ago. He said he wanted to join the Marines the day he turned 18. I looked at every branch, but I wanted the Marine Corps because the Marine Corps, they were the few and the proud. He loved every minute of boot camp and combat training at 29 Palms in California. But on November 28, 2005, his life would change forever. He was one of the group of Marines who lined up for an undisclosed shot. We're going to have to take a break here, folks. I'll give you the rest of this mystery. I'll give you the rest of this mystery wrapped up in a conundrum surrounding this awful, awful, lawless war. My name is Liz Brown. Taking a break. I'll be back. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700. People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
And just a reminder, you're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you. Right now at 6:32, let's take a look at the WGNU traffic for this Thursday morning. No accidents to report, as we can see. Mainly construction, the traffic issues of the day. Traffic flowing freely on westbound 40 between McCausland and Handley. And traffic starting to build a bit on westbound 40, or eastbound 40, check that, between 141 and I-270. And another traffic item of note just came in. Watch for road construction on eastbound 70 between Highway 79 and Mid Rivers Mall Drive in the St. Charles County area. More road construction on southbound 270 between Olive and Delmar, down to two lanes at that point. Watch for delays. It's still pretty early, but it is a Thursday. Even if it's a light Thursday, we have weather to contend with as well. Taking a look at the WGNU forecast for today, tonight, and into Saturday. Cloudy with thunderstorms likely today. The high in the upper 70s. Cloudy, showers, thunderstorms likely tonight. The low in the mid-60s. Friday, cloudy with more thunderstorms possible. The high in the upper 70s. For Friday night, cloudy, showers, thunderstorms likely with the low in the mid-60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy conditions. The high in the lower 80s. And Saturday night, you got it, partly cloudy once again with the high, or the low rather, in the mid-60s, the high during the day in the lower 80s, low in the mid-60s. Simple as that, right? 71 degrees here at AM 920 WGNU. The official reading from Lambert Field, also 71 degrees. Coming up on 6:34 at AM 920, more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown following this announcement.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
What's better for your brain than TV? Quicker to open than Windows and more portable than a laptop? Why, books, of course. I'm Maria Rogers O'Rourke, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program, a lively conversation about books. Join us every Friday for discussions with a variety of authors on timely topics, the creative process, and how to get published.
And I'm Mary Menke, happy to be part of the new hosting team for Authors on the Air. Join us every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Make me want to holler. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. Yes, we do. Much, much, much business to tend to, tend to, tend to. On the way out, I was telling you the story of a 20-year-old, 20-year-old baby. I don't care what you say. It's 20 years old. Lance Corporal David Fay, suffering from a mysterious illness as a result of serving his country. This is a 20-year-old that was never sick a day in his life. All he wanted to do when he graduated was join the military. He loved boot camp. On November 28th, 2005, Lance Corporal David Fay was one of a group of Marines who lined up for an undisclosed shot. They asked us our name. We stood on these yellow footprints, and they gave us this shot, and we got the rest of the day off, he said. After that shot, I started swelling up. I gained 30 pounds of water. 30 pounds of water. My eyes swelled up where I couldn't see. I started snoring. I developed a rash on my hand. 3 weeks later, Fay was back in the Claremont County on his deathbed at the Clinton Memorial Hospital. His kidneys were failing. His body was so swollen that it left stretch marks. Faye's mama, Cindy, said, I would pray a lot. I would pray a lot. His mother said, and I quote, y'all, I quote, I would pray, God, just take him. His mama said, when I couldn't hug my son because he would scream in pain or yell at me for touching him and stuff, I used to pray to God, just take him. Cindy Fay began poring over his medical records in search of answers. She said the shot that her baby received was never in her son's medical records. The military claimed that he never received a shot. But the military story, as it often does, would later change. Now, the DOD, that's the Department of Defense, they say, their statement is, all service members' vaccinations are documented in the individual's permanent medical record. But interestingly enough, folks, Faye's military medical record revealed that he received no shot on that day. Another Marine in Faye's unit said also that there was no shot listed in his medical records either. And he also said that the people who administered the shot never told his unit what it was. So that didn't stop Cindy Faye. She called the U.S. Marine Hospital in 29 Palms to find out what kind of vaccine her son was given. She was told that the information was confidential. Ain't that some stuff? 11 months later, her son's medical records were mysteriously changed with a handwritten notation indicating that, oh, there was a shot that was given, but it was a flu shot. You see, Faye is not alone. This baby, Lance Corporal David Faye, is one of a growing number of U.S. servicemen and women who are getting sick after receiving vaccines. The number is up, according to some reports, up in the thousands. The symptoms range from joint aches and pains and arthritic symptoms to death. Now, the DOD, again, folks, that's the Department of Defense, part of your good government. It says that it encourages healthcare workers and vaccine recipients to report adverse reactions. But guess what? Check it out. What are the odds? What do you think? The military never reported Faye's reaction to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the FDA. The Department of Defense maintains that the vaccines given to U.S. troops are safe. Meanwhile, David Faye is waiting for a kidney transplant. You know what his biggest wish is? I just want to be able to get up and be without pain, to get up and just be happy again. I just want to be happy again. 20 years old. Now, let's just do a little review, folks. Class is in session. We're going to do a little review. How well have pharmaceuticals done in the past 6 years? Since this administration has been in office? The answer class is very well. The answer class is obscenely well. How much access have pharmaceutical companies had into our lives since this administration? The answer class is they've had a whole lot of access that they've never had before. How easy is it for people to get their drugs fast-tracked under the loosening of rules of the FDA or the non-enforcement by the FDA under this administration? The answer is, oh, it's very easy. Okay, you have lucrative, that's money, plus access, and an administration that supports your interests. And then you have all of these wonderful walking potential experiments walking around. What better place to get out an experimental vaccine than in the military, where you can hide the records? This is better than prison. It's better than prison. Who follows order better, a prisoner or a soldier? I would say a soldier. You stand over there in that corner, you take this shot. These are scary times, folks. These are scary, scary times. David Fay, his mother Cindy, having to have to, I can't even imagine it, to pray that your son would die because he is in so much pain. To pray that your baby would die, that God would take your baby. Because every time you touch your 20-year-old, he screams out in pain. He's in so much pain. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to email me? Do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. We're going to take a break here, folks. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Visit the Veterans Memorial Museum in Branson. Over 2,000 exhibits tell the stories of men and women who defended our freedoms during the wars of the 20th century. The Veterans Memorial Museum is a national tribute to our veterans and features the world's largest war memorial bronze statue. The Veterans Memorial Museum is easy to find. Just look for the full-size World War II P-51 Mustang fighter plane on West Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Call 417-336-2300.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close to you.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
More to come with the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming, this one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. Joe, good morning.
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing out about this stuff that they're doing to the soldiers and stuff. You mentioned George Rollis. He was mentioned this years ago about the government officials getting paid off by the drug companies.
Mm-hmm.
And as make sure they were saying she was kind of, you know, putting out that she was kind of nuts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they might go after you next. But remember, these outfits will do that. Because remember Tchaikovsky Institute where he was experimenting on the people way back then?
That's right.
Now,
Tuskegee.
Now they do it in the military because it doesn't show up as much. You know, it's not in the public eye as much.
And I remember, and you remember when Nurse Riley was out there talking about this?
Yeah,
they
was trying to make out that she was kind of half crazy or
that's
something.
Right. That's right.
Mental problems and all that stuff.
And well, remember when Colin Powell said that the Gulf War syndrome that was all in the soldier's head?
Yeah, because the politicians and everybody's getting paid by the drug companies.
It's an amazing thing, Joe, and it's awfully scary.
Yeah.
It's awfully scary.
I listen to WGNU from early morning to late at night, all the programs, because they all tell what the people want to hear. You know, what's going on in this government now.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. You take care now.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. These are amazing times. These are amazing times that we live in. It's almost, some people would say, you know, it's daily what we're uncovering under this administration during these times. I would say that it's not daily, it's hourly. It's hourly what we are discovering as we unpeel the onion that is this administration. And so what is the impact of the world that has been created for us? What is the impact on decisions that people are made, political decisions? Because the fact of the matter is, it's a political decision to allow a pharmaceutical company to have access to our military. That's a political decision, not a social decision. It's not a individual decision. It's a political decision. People are starting to feel the repercussions, to have to live the repercussions. One thing to feel the repercussions, and then there's that thing of having to live in the world after the repercussions. So, what kind of decisions are people making after having lived in the aftermath of these repercussions? Young Americans are more likely than the general public to favor a government-run universal health care insurance system. Young Americans are more likely to favor an open-door policy on immigration. Young Americans are more likely to approve the legalization of gay marriage, according to a New York Times, CBS News, MTV poll. The young Americans also, according to this poll, found that they are more likely to say the war in Iraq is heading to a successful conclusion. Wow. Wow. They have continued a long-term drift away from the Republican Party, although they are just as worried as the general population about the outlook for the country and think that their generation is likely to be worse off than their parents, they retain a belief that their votes can make a difference. More than half of Americans from 17 to 29, that's 54%, say they intend to vote for a Democrat and Democrat for president in 2008. George W. Bush has a 28% approval rating with this group. And the Republican Party has a 28% approval rating. Now, dig this. After 9/11, this same group, George Bush's approval rating was 80%, more than 80%. Huh. Young people, young Americans appear to be leaning slightly more to the left than the general population. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You're right about the Republicans getting hammered because they sent that distraction and culture to do what she does best, especially when she was talking about John Edwards on Harbaugh and then this argument that she had with Liz Edwards yesterday.
Well, let's refresh people's recollections here. Ann Coulter was invited. First of all, I don't understand how she would be invited on Good Morning America, given Good Morning America, given what she has said previously. But she said that she would prefer that John Edwards be killed by a terrorist, right?
Right.
So why would she ever be allowed to be on a show? Ever. That's so ugly that it just reduces our ability to have any kind of discussion about anything. It really does. My question is what was Good Morning America thinking when they said that?
Mm. Well, I swear sometimes she makes me so mad I want to punch her in the nuts.
And see, that's the thing. I mean, it doesn't make me feel that way at all. It doesn't make me feel that I want to exhibit violence towards her at all. My concern is my feelings of anger about that has nothing to do with her, because this is America. She should be able to say not everything, because there's not all speech is protected speech, but the question is who's giving her a platform to say these things and thereby saying that it's okay to say these things. And that's Good Morning America. So I'm upset with them. She is who she is. She says hateful, ugly things and gets paid for it. Okay, you know, you're going to die eventually, like all of us are going to die. And you'll have to deal with whatever happens at that point. You're going to, if she's fortunate, she'll get to grow old. And she'll get to grow old with the person of who she is. And I believe that things happen to people like that. I believe that that life is not what it appears to be for people that say and do such mean and ugly, intolerant things and tell lies about people. So I'm not, Anne is not the issue here. The issue is the media industry that has her on and thereby tells the world that this is a legitimate way of thinking. This is a legitimate thing to say. It is not wrong to say that you wish people would be assassinated on television and be called a reporter. You know, that's what makes me angry.
Plus, she's providing an excellent distraction from the main issues of what's going on with this administration.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We have much business to tend to. Frank, good morning.
Yeah, Liz, you were just talking about Ann Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
I watched 10 minutes ago the video from the show, and everybody has taken it out of context, including me. What she said in the whole program is that Bill Maher, he's kind of another Ann Coulter guy, said that he wished Cheney, when he was over in Iraq, would have got killed in a terrorist attack. So she said on this video, she said, I guess if I say anything about Edwards, I should say I wish he'd get killed in a terrorist attack, because that's okay if Bill Maher says it about Cheney.
So
well,
her following.
That's okay with liberals if I say it that way too.
So her statement was, so I guess that's okay if, or is that the interpretation of what she said?
Well, it's on the Drudge Report. You can go on and watch it.
I know, but I mean, did she say words like that? So I guess it's okay.
Yeah, she said, I guess it's okay then if I say I wish John Edwards was killed in a terrorist attack, because it was okay when Bill Maher said it. Nobody made a big deal out of it. That's the whole context of what she said.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Frank.
Okay,
thank you,
Liz.
So much.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back in the next hour to take some more of your calls and comments. And we have Eye on the Lou as well. Our guest, our special guest on Eye on the Lou this morning, we're going to have Tom Sullivan in and also Fred Lindeke. We're going to be talking about the true cost of the ballpark subsidy. Oh, yeah, because that's how we roll here on the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Firefighters are still struggling to tame the flames of a wildfire that has destroyed hundreds of homes in South Lake Tahoe, California. Rich Hawkins of the Forest Service says one fireman broke his hand when a boulder hit him.
Unfortunately, when you work in steep terrain, things like falling trees and rocks are a significant hazard every day.
But ABC's Alex Stone says there is some progress to report.
On a wildfire like this, we never want to say the worst may be over because it could flare up at any time. But in this case, it looks like firefighters have a pretty good containment around the fire. Thousands of people are still evacuated. They may be evacuated for a few more days. Firefighters want to make sure it's completely safe for them to come home before they lift all the evacuation orders.
The fire is now 55% contained. With more rain in the forecast today in flood-ravaged regions of Texas, Fire Captain Roy Gunther has his hands full.
Right now we're staffing extra men, equipment. We have other cities that have come in with fire engines and water to help us get ready and prepare for the next round of storms that may be coming in.
The flooding is blamed for more than a dozen deaths. Do antidepressants lead to birth defects? CDC researchers say there seems to be a small but remote risk, and more study is needed. Concern over a possible link emerged when a survey of over 500 babies born to moms on Paxil showed 4.4% were born with major malformations. Are you commuting on the road to ruin? If you're driving in California, Minnesota, or New Jersey, the answer could be yes. A new ranking of American roads based on congestion, condition, and crashes rates those three states as among those having the toughest roads. The smoothest sailing was in North Dakota and South Carolina. Paris Hilton says being strip searched was the most humiliating experience of her life, but the overall jail experience made her a better person and she'll never drink and drive again. Hilton says she spent time reading the Bible behind bars, but when asked on CNN's Larry King Live what her favorite passage was, she said she didn't have one. This is ABC News.
Aflac for small business?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
A dozen for you today, hon?
Yeah, give me a few jellies, some Boston cream, a couple of crumbly peanuts, and some peace of mind, please.
Coming right up, sir.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I'll have some total satisfaction as well.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com. That's FordCPO.com.
It's a die-hard donation. Bruce Willis was willing to give the shirt off his back to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington.
It's fun to be an entertainer. It's fun to be, you know, part of the Smithsonian Institute.
Willis donated John McClane's dirty shirt from the Die Hard movies to the Smithsonian's exhibit of America's favorite movie memorabilia, although he's not sure he's worthy.
I don't know if it's important. It's just an honor. I think that I think films are a part of the American culture.
Willis says it's not the coolest thing in the exhibit. He's a big fan of Dorothy's ruby red slippers from The Wizard of Oz, saying they're far cooler. Willis also donated a tank top splattered with fake blood, a script from the latest Die Hard movie, and one of his character's police badges. Three Boston Red Sox players are lending their names and their fame to a charity wine auction on eBay. The wines are called Manny Being Merlot after Ramirez, Schilling Chardonnay after pitcher Kurt, and Wakefield Cabernuckle after knuckleballer Tim Wakefield. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brangemeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a new Chief Justice is ready to start her term. Judge Laura Denver Stith started as a clerk in the Missouri Supreme Court. During a news conference yesterday, she pledged that the Supreme Court would continue to look closely at death penalty appeals. Stith plans to make the courts more accessible, especially to the poor, and make the public more aware of what judges do. She begins her two-year term as the head of the state's judiciary on Sunday. A bi-state police chase ended in a crash earlier this week. It started in Granite City, traveled through St. Louis, and ended in St. Charles. Granite City police say it was part of an ongoing drug investigation. Police approached a suspected dealer's car around 8 o'clock Tuesday night. The suspect sped away on I-70 and crossed into Missouri, where other police officers joined the chase. The suspect was not seriously injured and is now in custody. Finally this hour, Yadier Molina is ready to return. The Cardinals catcher has been out of action for the past month because of a fractured left wrist. Molina took batting practice yesterday and has been catching for several of the team's injured pitchers for the past week. The Redbirds plan to activate Molina from the disabled list in time for tonight's series finale against the Mets in New York. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
And at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Charles Gear with the WGNU traffic update. Not much to report at this time. An accident, however, has been cleared from eastbound Interstate 70 just before 170. Road construction seems to be the big issue, primarily in the Metro East area, it appears. Highway 177 at South Greenmount Road in Belleville. Watch for construction there. And on Illinois 161 at Lincoln Boulevard, more of the same. The traffic is affected both ways on Illinois 157 between Illinois 162 and Keebler Road. And that is primarily the issues that matter most on the traffic scene this morning. Let's take a look at our WGNU forecast. Pretty much the same through Saturday. This afternoon, cloudy with thunderstorms likely with a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the mid-60s. Friday, more of the same. Cloudy skies, thunderstorms possible with a high in the upper 70s. Friday night, cloudy, more showers and thunderstorms and the low in the mid-60s. Saturday and Saturday night, the rain taken out of the forecast, at least for now. Mostly cloudy Saturday and partly cloudy Saturday night. The high on Saturday in the lower 80s, and on Saturday night, watch for a low in the mid-60s. Currently, mostly cloudy skies, some fog in the metropolitan area. Watch for that as well. 71 degrees at AM 920 WGNU, officially 71 degrees at Lambert Field. Coming up on 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock, as we continue to discuss the issues that matter most to you on AM 920 WGNU. And coming up in just a moment, more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. And in this hour, we're taking an eye on the loo.
In the air, I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. The power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knockdown dragouts at the board.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown, and as always, I am joined by Irene J. Smith. And this week, this day, this time, we have in the studio with us, we have an amazing show because we have amazing things to talk about. One of the things that has been on the edge of minds of folks, if they're not there directly, they are there in spirit. And that is what happens to our tax dollars. You hear people talk about it all the time in terms of how the city spends our money. Where does our money go? Well, the problem with this particular topic, when we try to get to the bottom of this particular where does our money go, I think that people kind of feel the result of living in a one daily newspaper town. The story that I'm talking about is the Cardinal Stadium. The story that I'm talking about is public funding for the Cardinal Stadium. And the story that I'm talking about is the one that hasn't been reported by the one daily newspaper. We're going to talk about why in just a few minutes. But the St. Louis Journalism Review just put out an article that talks about public funding for the Cardinal Stadium and how the media never told the whole story. And the two people that wrote that article are joining us this morning for this discussion, Fred Lindeke and Tom Sullivan. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Morning.
And I want to also, of course, always, as part of the discussion here, because this is Eye on the Loo, Irene J. Smith is here this morning.
Good morning, everyone in the listening audience.
And this is a story that really kind of begins before the stadium was built. It begins before a single shovel hit some dirt. And Irene, you remember the beginning of this story, don't you?
Oh, do I? Yes, I do. I was a member of the Ways and Means Committee that took it up. And the bill that was delivered to your house at about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock the night of the vote on this matter. It was rushed.
How long was it? I mean, was it two pages that was delivered to your house?
Oh no, okay. No. It was I guess about 2 to 3 inches thick.
And this was delivered the night before it was supposed to be voted mm-hmm. on by the Ways and Means Committee.
Right, by carrier.
Okay, so delivered by carrier in the midnight hour, 2 to 3 inches thick a document. So when you got to the board that morning, what were people's positions on it?
You know, when I got to the board, I think the chairman, Steve Conway, knew my position. I was complaining. I said the vote should be delayed. We have not had a sufficient opportunity to examine this. I told him I had stayed up late to read it, and I had various concerns about it. But it was really a push. I mean, most of the members, and some of them were quite honest about it, they had not read the bill and proceeded with testimony. Most of it seemingly orchestrated testimony, because even those who were testifying in favor of it certainly had not read it either. And so it was kind of it was rushed through.
And we're going to get to some of the what happened even before the bill got to the Board of Aldermen, because there was rushing on that piece of it, too. The question is that should it have ever gotten to the Board of Aldermen based on what the citizens want to happen? But we have to take a break right about now. Let's do that. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the story that the Daily Paper has never told, public funding for the Cardinal Stadium. The media never told the whole story. My name is Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Loo. Stay with us.
Every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Some sounds of gang violence don't start until the day you're sentenced. A family.
It's going to be okay.
A brother alone.
Hey, little man, come here. What you got on your back?
A sister afraid. A mother counting the days till her boy is home.
I just hope my baby's safe.
From the day you're sentenced, your family starts facing the true hard time with you. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Loo. I am here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking this morning about an article that appears in the most recent edition of the St. Louis Journalism Review, public funding for the Cardinal Stadium. The media never told the whole story. Fred Lindicky and Tom Sullivan are the authors of this piece. And Fred, you heard Irene talking about her experience with this midnight run to this piece of legislation to her as a member of Ways and Means to try to get this Cardinals package passed. But it really started before that, the cover-up and the in-runs and the secrecy of this deal.
Well, the time she's talking about is October 2002, and the reason the mayor was in a hurry and wanted to jam this down the alderman's throat is because he wanted the bill to be passed before the people could vote on our initiative petition proposition in November 2002, because the Coalition Against Public Funding for Stadiums had conducted a petition drive in the city of St. Louis, gathered a required number of signatures, and put it on the ballot. The proposal simply said that before any taxpayer money could be used to finance a professional sports stadium, the people had to vote on it. So the mayor knew that if the people voted on that, the citizens of the city of St. Louis were going to pass it, and that then in the succeeding vote, they were going to defeat use of city taxpayer money for a St. Louis Cardinals stadium. So he wanted to make sure that in October, before the people could vote in November, that the subsidy to the Cardinals, the repeal of the 5% ticket tax, was passed, and therefore when the people passed it in November, it couldn't reach back and nullify what the Board of Aldermen had done in October.
And Tom, how bad is this deal?
To this day, most of the people in St. Louis don't realize how much the Rams are getting. Perhaps the biggest item was the repeal of the 5% admission tax. That's been kind of footnoted in various media stories, but when you take a look at what it's going to cost over the length of the contract, which is 30 years, it comes to about $350 million, possibly more. Then you have to look at the property tax abatement on a new stadium. It's going to be for 25 years. That's going to come to about $20 million. So just those two items can take it to $400 million. And then, of course, you have what St. Louis County has kicked in. That's about $108 million. And that's to retire the $45 million in bonds. Then you have state of Missouri, about $42.7 million for tax credits and highway ramp construction. And then you have the money that they've taken in as a result from, you know, of what they've charged the fans or what they're going to be able to take in as far because they have a new stadium. And you're looking at about $100 million. We estimate over 30 years for the naming rights just for the new stadium. Had they stayed in the old stadium, of course.
Surely you're done. This is it, right?
Surely
you're done. There's no more left after this. But
wait, they haven't got to the urinals yet.
Keep going.
Well, then they came up with all these various programs to raise even more money from the fans. And this, they're going to take in about $40 million from what they call the Ballpark Founders Program, which charged season ticket holders extra money for the best seats.
But and we're talking about, there have always been season ticket holders, right? Season ticket holders, that's nothing new in the area of sports arenas. But this new stadium is now charging season ticket holders an additional $2,000 to $7,000. A year? I mean,
right.
a year?
$2,000, an additional $2,000 to $7,500 per year for the best ones.
Wow.
Same thing the Rams did to their season ticket holders.
Wow.
Remember the public shakedown licenses that the Rams stole?
That's right.
Charged their season ticket holders?
That's right. And then one will give us some more millions because you're not done yet.
Well, then, of course, they raised $10 million from all the memorabilia, including the notorious
urinals. The urinals. Yeah, this is a urinals conversation.
They were saying, you know, get your urinal for look good under the Christmas tree. It was around Christmas when they were.
Well, see, you know, I'm not mad at anybody that can make somebody pay $500 for a urinal. You know, good for you, Barnum and Bailey. You have sucker born every minute. Fine, this is a capitalistic society. You should be able to. If the market will bear that, that's fine. But the issue here is that. Shouldn't there be someone fiscally looking out for the interest of the city of St. Louis in the sale of all of this stuff, given what we have given? Shouldn't we have gotten a cut of some of that?
Almost nobody was looking out for the taxpayers. As I think you know, the mayor has been virtually acting like he's on the payroll of the Cardinals. And, you know, the aldermen have gone along with everything. So there hasn't really been anybody looking out for the interest of the taxpayers.
Can you do me a favor, Fred? Can you talk about some of the money that the city got before this deal that was entered into? For instance, what was the city getting in tax money before this deal?
Well, the last year that the Cardinals played in the old Busch Stadium was 2005. That was the last year that the Cardinals paid the 5% ticket tax. And in that year, the city collected $5 million in revenue from the Cardinals' ticket tax. But now, due to this law that we've just discussed that was passed in October 2002, that ticket tax is repealed. So now the Cardinals get to keep the money. They didn't reduce the price of the tickets by 5%. They simply get to keep the money that they collect on the tickets without remitting any money to the city of St. Louis. So we have to do this ourselves, since the Cardinals are a private corporation and don't have to tell anybody anything, even though they demand the taxpayers pay for their stadium. But we've estimated, just rule of thumb, that ticket prices will increase about 5% per year over the 30-year life of this contract. So if you do that and start with $5 million lost in 2006, then it comes to $350 million over 30 years that the city of St. Louis will not receive from the Cardinals. And when you consider that the city can't support Forest Park, it can't support the Soldiers Memorial, it's going to have to borrow money, issue bonds to pay the what is due to the police and firemen's pension. A long list of these things. When you consider all of these things the city can't do, legitimate expenses for the public services, and they've got money to give away to the Cardinals, that is the basis of our opposition to these kind of subsidies in this city and cities across the nation.
And we're seeing this all across the nation, aren't we, Tom? This type of privatization, not privatization, but public funding of private entities. They're coming to get our money when billionaires are coming to get our money to build their stuff.
They're all working out of the same playbook. It's give us what we want, or we're going to pick up our team and take it somewhere else. And due to the fact that there has been some teams that have done that, it's a threat that they all like to use. And, of course, you might remember the Cardinals were talking about going over to the east side. They were talking about going here, going there. And, obviously, they weren't – the only place it works for them is in downtown St. Louis. They weren't going anywhere.
And, Irene, you experienced that. You were on the board at that time. There were a lot of your fellow Alder people that were saying, but they said that they're going to go. They said that they're going to go. We got to support this, right?
Right. And basically, members of the board were taking the position, Irene, how could you run the risk of them leaving? I say they have the largest market penetration in St. Louis. There is no reason economically for them to leave St. Louis.
Wasn't there even a question of the legality of them being able to lose? Could leave? Could they even have left if they wanted to?
Well, there was some discussion about that as to whether or not they would be permitted to relocate to another area, and perhaps Mr. Sullivan can speak to that. But clearly to me, when you looked at all the economic factors, when you looked at the largest market penetration, I think the league would have been crazy to give the Cardinals permission to leave the St. Louis area in terms of what they were bringing in.
And Fred, talk to us about how much money the Cardinals have made off of the Cardinal owners have made off of this team. They bought the team in 1995. Can you talk to us about how much and what they're worth today?
Well, they bought the team, the stadium, and the parking garages, total for $150 million in 1995. And a year later, they sold the parking garages for and various parcels of land for $101 million. So their net cost now is $49 million. That's their equity invested in this team. And we're just, again, we have to do this by the basis of estimates, since nothing comes from the Cardinals. They should be able to sell that team for something like $500 million whenever they cash in. So you can see what
not bad for $49 million if it is that for $40 million investment, $49 million investment.
That's all the equity they have left in the team.
Wow, we're going to have to take a break here. We're talking about the story that the media has never told, the whole story of public funding for the Cardinals Stadium. We have the authors of that article that is published in this month's St. Louis Journalism Review. Fred Lindeke and Tom Sullivan joining us here in the studio. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and my name is Liz Brown. We'll be back to talk, to say more, to talk more, to get to the bottom of this. And when we come back, I'd like to do this thing of this compare and contrast with the Rams deal, because as astonishing as this deal is, the Rams deal also is a jaw-dropper. We'll be back. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Care is once again providing window unit air conditioners for low-income families. The summer cooling program is for homebound St. Louis City and County residents who have a severe medical need for a cool environment. Energy Care staff will visit your home and install the air conditioner. To request or donate an air conditioner, call 314-773-5900. Something for you from WGNU.
And something else coming up for you on AM 920 WGNU, the latest traffic report, and it looks something like this. The traffic looks pretty much normal on the Poplar Street Bridge, that is to say as normal as it gets with slow traffic. Butler Hill Road at Interstate 55, watch for traffic lights that are not working properly. Ditto on St. Charles Rock Road at Hilltop Plaza in St. Louis County. Slow traffic on Illinois 3 northbound at the PSB, and the usual normal traffic, which could be a bit slow at times, on the King Bridge between the Illinois Bank and LaCleve Landing. At last check, 71 degrees here at AM 920 WGNU. Cloudy skies, rain expected, well, pretty much throughout today through Friday. Some cloudy skies as well for Saturday. And again, 71 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, here at AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you. And we'll be back with Fred Lindeke, Irene Smith, and a continuing discussion on the stadium debate. Eye on the Lou continues as part of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here, of course, with Irene J. Smith and also the authors of an article, Public Funding for the Cardinal Stadium, The Media Never Told the Whole Story, by Fred Lindeke and, of course, Tom Sullivan. And I'm looking at these headlines, and I want to read through some of them because it just really takes us to where we are. St. Louis Business Journal, December 23, 2003. The new Cardinals Stadium will be the, only the second in the United States to be built primarily with private money in the past 2 years. More than three-quarters of the $387.5 million stadium will be paid for in private funds. That's December 23rd. December 24th, the Post-Dispatch seemed to echo this by saying, in the end, the Cardinals agreed to kick in most of the money for financing with the help coming from the city, the county, and the state. Then, in 2004, January 18th, the Post-Dispatch underscored what they said by saying, Dwight and Associates are responsible for the funding of about 77% of the cost on the $388 million project. So let's kind of just go through and dissect some of these things. Fred, they're saying that the project is costing $388 million. Okay, what is the city of St. Louis going to pay for that $388 million project?
Well, when the Cardinal owners do their bookkeeping, they only want to talk about the cost of construction of the stadium, that is, the steel, the concrete, and the cost of labor. So if you stick with that, their figure that they paid about 75% of the stadium is correct. But they don't want to talk about the forfeiture of revenue, such as we've discussed in the city of St. Louis. They don't want to talk about the interest cost that St. Louis County residents are paying on the bond issue that they gave to the Cardinals to build a stadium. And they don't want to talk about the money that the fans have kicked in the seat licenses and buying the urinals. And they also don't want to talk about their advertising deal on selling the naming rights, since the old Busch Stadium didn't collect any naming rights, but the new Busch Stadium does. But the Cardinals won't tell anybody how much they're making from the brewery off of the naming rights, so we have to estimate that it's worth about $100 million over 30 years.
And none of that money is coming to the city of St. Louis.
It's all going into Mr. DeWitt's pocket and Mr. Hanser and Mr. Bauer, et cetera.
And we talk about the private financing piece. The St. Louis Business Journal, reported in 2003, the new Cardinals baseball stadium will be only the second in the United States to be built primarily with private money in the past 20 years. Did that just make your head explode, Tom? I mean, when you read quotes like that, how long do you need to talk about how that is a wrong statement?
Yeah, the media just keeps repeating it over and over again that they're going to be paying for two-thirds to three-quarters. And, you know, there's a hint of truth in it, but the fact is they're going to get it all back, plus they're going to get a lot more. And it's amazing that you see even media in other parts of the country mention this, too, because they just pick up on what's mentioned here. But the fact is they are going to make several hundred million dollars off of this deal, and that's what's not being reported. And they make it sound as if this is really something big-hearted on the part of the Cardinals, and in fact, it isn't.
And the other piece of it also is the millions of dollars that the city of St. Louis is going to lose. The citizens are going to lose for the things, the infrastructure, and all of our other needs that the city has.
That's correct. They did this in such a way to make it sound as if it's not that big of a deal. For example, taking off the emissions tax, and when you figure it's a percentage, and it just, you know, the tickets are going to be going up every year, all these various deals that they have for premium seats, for all this club seating and all this, where the city used to get 5% of that, now they're not going to get anything.
And Irene, you were talking about how when you were at the Board of Aldermen, and this piece of legislation came through in the midnight hour, 3 inches thick, nobody had a chance to read it, that there were blank spaces in the legislation. What does that mean?
What that means is there was you know how you have a sentence and then you have a line, like a fill-in? Something needs to go in there to complete the sentence. Well, there were blanks in the legislation.
Wait a minute. Okay, am I talking about a blank space in your senior high school essay? We're talking about legislation. We're talking about laws, right?
For which you
would get an F, okay?
You know, it's like you have a test and you have to fill in the blank.
But that even that makes sense. That makes sense. A law that has a blank. And Fred, it wasn't just this. Just wasn't anything unique to the city. This happened in the state as well, right?
Well, of course. And when they pull that trick in any legislative body, they pull that trick. Dump a big bill on your desk at the last minute when you don't have time to read it. They'll always say to you, "Well, why?" You say, "Well, why is this blank?" she says, they'll say, well, that's still being negotiated. We're going to fill that in later.
But vote. But
yeah,
vote now.
Oh, certainly. Vote
now.
Yeah.
So the legislation that was up in the state, Fred, it also had blanks in it.
Well, not so much blanks in the Missouri legislature, which I covered for 30 years. They like to pull the trick about dumping a big bill on your desk at the last minute, or hanging a big fat amendment on it at the last minute. And the sponsor would get up and he'd give you two sentences. This amendment is about this, that, and everything. Then call for the vote. Nobody ever had a chance to read the amendment.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to a couple of callers here. Max.
Yes, good morning.
Good
well,
morning.
The love of millionaires never ceases among
well,
you, the
come
almost,
on, let's be fair. The rich have suffered enough.
I mean, we talk about, we are criticized, and by we, I'm talking about liberal Democrats, left folks. We are criticized constantly by the Republicans of fomenting class warfare or class envy. But they have done it on us, and they've got a lot of folks, well, I'll call them middle-class folks, who, oh, you know, they'll talk about the Cardinals ownership having so much class. And it's crazy. But I want to talk about a rumor. The only place they might have moved, and maybe Mr. Lindecki and the other gentleman and Alderwoman Smith, say they heard this rumor, and essentially they would have become the Soulard Cardinals. They were looking at property, and it's not really in Soulard, but it's so close to it. The old Neuter Boiler Works property and other parcels of land around it. The rumor was they might have gone there because they'd still be in the city, they'd be by the interstate highways, and actually it would have been even cheaper because they wouldn't have had to tear the old stadium down so fast and shoehorn the new one in and build it at breakneck speed with folks working on it, union folks working on it day and night. So that's what the rumor I had heard, that they were looking at that property, and some of us folks who are fans and Soulard thought we could get a T-shirt printed up, Soulard Cardinals.
Let me let them respond to that.
Have a good day.
All right, take care, Max. Fred or Todd, go ahead.
There's never been any credibility to the fact that the Cardinals would be able to operate outside of downtown St. Louis. You have to realize is that you have all these highways coming together in one spot that you just don't have anywhere else in the area. If anybody's ever gone out to the UMB Pavilion at the Riverport, they see what happens with a much smaller venue, but you can't get in the place and it just gets backed up. So they really had no other option other than downtown St. Louis.
The threat to move the Cardinals to East St. Louis always was a monumental bluff. Just ask yourself one question. If the Cardinals were playing tonight in East St. Louis, how would you get there? And how would you get back home? It's the Poplar Street Bridge, and we all know all the fuss that we've had over the Poplar Street Bridge recently.
Vader, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. Good morning. You're
good
morning. Your guest, and I love this segment. I was just looking at the time Francis Slade been mayor all the way on out to now. It seemed like ever since this Democrat has been elected to office, black people haven't fared very well up under him, and poor white people either. But the rich in this town, they can sit back and live high off the hog. This man's the devil.
And the issue of this being a pro-business, a pro-corporate interest issue, it's clear, isn't it? I mean, corporations have made out like a bandit with this proposal and with this stadium.
There's no doubt about it. And one of the things we mentioned, too, is the wealth of the Cardinals. And their combined net worth is over $4 billion. And if you go
Wait a minute, $4 billion, that's with the B.
$4 billion. But if you go back to 1997, they wanted to cut their cleaning staff's wages from $9.70 an hour to $6.90, and the workers were reluctant to do so. So the Cardinals just fired them all.
And what are they getting paid today? Does anybody know what the workers are getting paid today? If they were getting paid that then, what are they getting paid now?
It's probably contracted out, and they're telling what type of workers are performing the services there.
And I want to talk a little bit about the Ram Stadium, okay, because a Ram Stadium deal, because this is a bad deal that we're talking about right now for the city of St. Louis, but it wasn't too long ago that we passed this Ram deal. Tom, talk to us a little bit about that.
That was 1995, and it was referred to as the biggest municipal holdup in the history of the country. And that's another thing where the local media just didn't want to give it much coverage, because we heard a lot about the cost of the Jones Dome, what's now called the Jones Dome, and the total cost for taxpayers is going to be $720 million. The city's given $180 million, St. Louis County's $180 million, and the state of Missouri is $360 million. But the thing that never gets looked at as much is the details of the lease. So here we have a building that the Rams have never provided one dime for.
Wait a minute. Never provided one dime to the city of St. Louis for?
They have not provided one dime to anybody for the cost of the stadium. Yet, when you look at what they're going to get, it's they're getting the lion's share of the revenue. The ticket revenue, the basic ticket revenue, they get 100% of that. The club seat revenue, 100% of that. Luxury suite revenue, they get 100% of that. Then you look at the advertising revenue, again, for a stadium that they never contributed a dime to, they're getting 75% of that. The naming rights, which, of course, no telling what that's going to be eventually when over the course of all these years, but they get 75% of that. And the really incredible part is the concessions for game day, they get 100% of those also. And even when it comes to expenses, for the game day, which of course they're profiting off of, they only pay 50% of that. So it's quite a deal.
And that's just for the Rams Stadium. Now, at the end of our payment on the stadium, what do we end up paying for the stadium? I mean, how much is the Rams Stadium? How much did it cost the city of St. Louis?
The construction cost was about $300 million. But the taxpayers are not going to be finished paying for it, the $720 million. Until 2022.
So, Fred, surely I heard that wrong. We're paying $700 million for the stadium.
$720 million. $24 million a year times 30 years is $720 million. And recently in the Post-Dispatch, there was a story in the sports section about how the poor Rams are getting revenue sharing from the National Football League because a lot of other publicly subsidized football stadiums built since the Jones Dome are outdoing them in profits made from the stadium, so therefore the poor Rams have to get revenue sharing. But Mr. Shaw, the president of the Rams, already is working on his idea about how to get the next Rams stadium built.
The next Rams stadium?
The next Rams stadium built. And so my only hope is that the Rams at least have the decency to wait until the taxpayers have finished paying for the present one in 2022 before they come around and tell the politicians, now you got to build us a new one.
Well, you know what? Now I finally get their new advertising campaign, I believe. I believe I can get more money out of y'all. I believe I can get a lot more money out of y'all. That's what it is. That's what it is.
You keep giving them campaign contributions, and you keep giving them free tickets to the ball game and hot dogs and beer. They'll come through every time.
I believe it will. I believe it will. No, we're going to take a break.
Those luxury boots, you get more than hot dogs.
We're going to take a break. We're talking about public funding for the Cardinal Stadium. The media never told the whole story. Fred Lindeke and Tom Sullivan, the St. Louis Journalism Review has written this story put this story in their magazine that nobody else is reporting. I'm Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us. We'll be back to get some of your calls, some of your comments, and to continue our conversation.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
More to come on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm here. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And our guests in the studio with us today are the authors of the article that's published in the St. Louis Journalism Review this month, Public Funding for the Cardinal Stadium, The Media Never Told the Whole Story, Fred Lindeke and Tom Sullivan. Let me get to another caller here. Tim.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
This public funding really irritates me. So I got four quick comments. First of all, on the Cardinals, their false threat to leave, which we knew they were never going to leave, their false pledge for the ballpark village. We see how they're backtracking on that now. The Blues started it years ago, the Kiel Center Partners. They got the deal for that, and they promised to renovate the Kiel Opera House. We see how that's going. And lastly, on the Rams, I guess your guests could help me out. I believe there's a clause in there that after 10 years, which has already passed, if they're not in the top 10% of revenue, that they can demand a new stadium. And if you guys can comment, I know it's a lot, but thanks.
Thanks for your comments.
I believe the clause says that the taxpayers have to keep the Jones Dome in quality among the top 10 stadiums in the United States. And that is the reason, a recent news development, they're having trouble with the artificial turf in the Jones Dome because they got to use that floor of the Jones Dome for other exhibitions during the year, and they have to get to the electrical connections in the concrete floor, but they can't find the proper turf to put over it where they can leave the turf down and get to the electrical connections. So what they're doing is every year they're buying a new turf and tearing it up after the football season is over with, and the taxpayers are paying for it.
I mean, can't they do it like we do Georgia? Can't they just do a plug where the electrical connections are and then every year put that section of the turf in?
Well, and the caller raises a really good point about the ballpark village. Tom, how is that working out for us, the ballpark village?
Well, I'm afraid we're going to take it to the cleaners again. And the thing that we've brought up is the fact that one of the justifications that the Cardinals are using is the stadium. You know, they're trying to say, oh, we paid most of this. And, in fact, they have not. So the details on that have yet to be worked out. There's still some blanks on that. But, again, the Cardinals expect a huge subsidy from the taxpayers.
And, Irene, what do you remember about the ballpark village?
Oh, man, that was the drawing. That was supposedly the drawing piece. And we have to remember that the run on the Board of Aldermen with the baseball stadium came twice. Because, remember, we had one piece of legislation. They went up to the state. They got smacked down, so they had to come back with another piece of legislation. But, one of the things that was boasted over and over again, you know, even from people, some of the people who we believe were paid to come in and testify favorable to it, indicated that, well, they're going to do the baseball village. You know, this is going to be a major development in downtown St. Louis, and they're going to underwrite the cost of it, and they're going to pay for it. And now we just had, just this past legislative session at the Board of Aldermen, the legislation dealing with the ballpark village, and plus it's smaller, and guess who's paying the bill?
And Fred, you were giving us a little walk down history lane of why, how we've gotten to this extraordinary, these extraordinary numbers that we're throwing out here. Whose fault is this? How did we get to this place?
Well, we get to this place because the developers get together with the politicians and they decide, well, what can we do? What is available to be done? And there it goes. When the first ballyhoo was put out on Ballpark Village, it was going to be something like $650 million. Then when the bill got to the aldermen, it was only $357 million. And they said the difference was the two tall office towers that were not going to be built until market conditions allowed. Then when the bill was before the Board of Aldermen, on the day the Board of Aldermen considered it, all of a sudden the Mr. Cordish's people, he's the partner with Bill DeWitt on Ballpark Village, came in and said they didn't want to build the condos anymore. They just were willing to build the commercial part of Ballpark Village. So the Board of Aldermen swallowed that. The only thing they said was, well, you're asking for $116 million in public subsidy for what you want. Now if you're not going to build the condos, then we're going to cut the amount of subsidy, so the taxpayers are still going to be obligated to about $100 million, have to issue bonds and pay off the bonds for Ballpark Village. And another key point I want to mention is when the Cardinals talked about building Ballpark Village, it was something they were going to do for the city of St. Louis, and the city of St. Louis would help them build their ballpark. At the time, in 2002, nobody said, oh, but wait a minute. When we build Ballpark Village, you're going to have to subsidize that, too.
Mm. And what's
a smaller scale, and they scaled it back considerably.
And where is the end to this? I mean, we have this stadium. What is there an end to this?
If you can live long enough, the next time they try to build a stadium, we've got now ordinances as a result of our initiative petitions that the next time they try to build a stadium in St. Louis County or the city of St. Louis, the people will get to vote. One other funny story. Citizens of St. Louis County, do you know that in 2046 you are going to own Busch Stadium? Because the terms of the loan...
Citizens in St. Louis County?
Citizens of St. Louis County in 2046 are going to own Busch Stadium. Because the terms of the loan, they called it a loan, they had the nerve to call it a loan, the $45 million loan to the Cardinals to build the present stadium, the terms were that the Cardinals would pay off that loan in 2046 by one of two ways. Either they would pay the accumulated interest, which in 2046 will be something like $350-400 million, which we know they won't pay, or they can give the stadium to the taxpayers of the city of St. Louis.
Of St. Louis.
To the county of St. Louis. I keep getting them mixed up. So in 2046, the citizens of St. Louis County will be able to charge a Cardinals rent for using the stadium. But, of course, the stadium will be 40 years old, and by then the owners of the Cardinals, whoever they may be, will be complaining they can't make any money, and they will be demanding that the taxpayers buy them a new stadium.
And they'll be saying in that year, if they go that long, that it's an open-air stadium. All the stadiums now have roofs that open and close, and this is behind the times. They'll have a reason. They'll have an explanation. And Tom, talk to us about how the citizens weighed in on when the citizens were given a choice to weigh in on this. How did they respond?
The people of this area and the people of this state are overwhelmingly opposed to public support for stadiums. When you look at some of the public polls that have been taken in the St. Louis area, it's like 70-75% opposed. And if you go outstate Missouri, it's 90% or more opposed. But the biggest vote, though, came in November of 2004 when we got the initiative on the ballot in St. Louis County, which says any sports stadium funding from taxpayers has to be voter approved. And amazingly, county voters approved it by a more than 200,000 vote plurality. It was like 72%, something like that, which nobody believed would happen.
And how does that compare to the attitudes across the country? Is that consistent with most Americans out here?
People have changed quite a bit. You can go back to when, even in St. Louis, when the dome was first proposed, everybody was for it. The backers said not only is it going to pay for itself, it's going to yield millions of dollars. That never happened, and now people have changed their minds, and they are overwhelmingly opposed to stadium funding by Texas.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining me this morning, our guests this morning, and authors of this. Where can people get a copy of this? The St. Louis Journalism Review, you can pick that up anywhere?
At the World News. I think West Bank Books carries it.
Very good. I want everybody to go out and get a copy of this. It's a wonderful article. It has wonderful specifics in it. Public funding for the Cardinal Stadium. The media never told the whole story by Fred Lindicke and Tom Sullivan. Thank you both this morning for joining me.
Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome.
And Irene J. Smith, as always, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. And in the next hour, of course, Justice for Reggie, Jamala Rogers, is going to be joining us. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. People are taking to the trees in Texas where more rain is making floodwaters rise. Meteorologist Jessica Schultz says the culprit is a parked low-pressure system.
The area of low pressure is sitting over the north-central part of Texas, and so much of areas from Lubbock to San Angelo to San Antonio and up to Dallas are being affected by heavy rainfall.
The flooding is blamed for at least 11 deaths. The battle continues between a stubborn wildfire and firefighters trying to stop it from destroying more homes in South Lake Tahoe, California. ABC's Alex Stone says California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger visited the front line.
Governor Schwarzenegger called it one of the worst fires to ever hit the Tahoe area. He toured neighborhoods where block after block homes have burned to the ground.
The firefighters know that there's a huge challenge ahead of them and a lot of work ahead of them to contain this fire.
The firefight here will continue for days, but crews say they did have some success yesterday. The fire is no longer raging. Alex Stone, ABC News, South Lake Tahoe, California.
The Supreme Court has some big decisions to make before breaking for the summer. ABC's Vic Ratner has the list.
Of just a handful of cases still undecided, none are more controversial than those from Seattle and Louisville, where justices are being asked to bar the use of race in school assignments. Showing the effects of two new justices, the court has handed down a series of 5-4 decisions in recent days, and court observers expect the school decisions to also show sharp splits in the court.
Fans and friends are remembering fashion icon Liz Claiborne as a woman with a bold sense of style and flair. She died in New York after a battle with cancer at 78. She leaves behind a legacy of labels, including Dana Buchman, Juicy Couture, and Ellen Tracy. Tomorrow's iDay, the day of the big reveal for the iPhones. They're due to go on sale at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, but Apple stores are closing for 4 hours beforehand to gear up for the expected crowds. This is ABC News.
Brace yourselves, because I'm going to bring up a subject nobody likes to think about, buying a used car. I know, painful. Well, I've got a painless solution. Honda-certified used cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. They'll even provide a Carfax vehicle history report. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
If you're thinking about doing a little home improvement this weekend, then Lowe's Big July 4th event is the place you should be looking. Because today, if you spend $299 or more and put everything on your Lowe's consumer credit card, you can ask for special financing for 12 months. And now, via mail-in rebate, get $5 off 1 gallon and $20 off 5 gallons of Valspar interior and exterior paint. Plus, take 10% off all in-stock major appliance purchases, $397 or more. Lowe's, let's build something together. See store for details.
House members are giving themselves more than just a pat on the back. ABC's Stephen Portnoy says through a tricky legislative maneuver, they've voted to give themselves a raise.
The House didn't vote to give itself a pay raise as much as it voted to not give itself a pay raise. You see, lawmakers and Supreme Court justices automatically get a cost of living adjustment every year unless Congress votes to block it. That last happened in January when Democrats pointed out that the lowest paid Americans hadn't gotten a raise in 10 years. But now that a minimum wage increase has passed, the House agreed to not block the automatic raise this year. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Former View co-host Rosie O'Donnell is raising eyebrows again with a provocative picture on her blog, a photo of her 4-year-old daughter Vivian wearing a camouflaged military getup and ammo belt. After fans wrote to complain, she told them her daughter in a soldier costume made national news, while 3,500 dead soldiers for real, as she put it, got no comment. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, police have released surveillance video in the hopes of solving an area murder. 42-year-old Kevin Henderson was a clerk at the Moto Mart in Pacific when he was shot and killed early Tuesday morning. Henderson was the father of two children and had been working at the store for less than a year. Anyone with information on the murder is asked to call the Pacific Police Department or the Major Case Squad. An Alton High School teacher has been fired. The school board voted unanimously to fire 54-year-old David Drillinger on Tuesday night. Drillinger was indicted by a Madison County grand jury recently on misdemeanor battery charges. He allegedly had inappropriate contact with at least one female student. He was a tenured teacher and was also the director of the school's marching band. Finally this hour, Keith Kachuk may be returning to the Blues. The team has offered the veteran center a 2-year contract worth $3.5 million per season. St. Louis made a deal with the Atlanta Thrashers on Tuesday to acquire the rights to Kachuk, who had spent 6 seasons with the Blues before being traded in February. The Blues can negotiate exclusively with the 35-year-old center until Sunday, at which time he will become an unrestricted free agent. This WGNU News Report is sponsored by the Church of the Firstborn from Above Ministry Training Center. Change your perspective. Attend the Shattering Your Strongholds Workshop Gala opening at 6 p.m. Monday, July 9th at Knowing Cafe and Books in Jamestown Mall. For information on all their workshops, call 314-922-1274. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
And to many of you computers and commuters, whether you use the computer or not, traffic is what matters now. I'm Charles here, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, with a look at WGNU traffic. The right lane is blocked on westbound 270 at Graham Hanley because of an accident. Watch for that. In Illinois, at Godfrey Road and Montclair Avenue, watch for an overturned vehicle accident. Traffic lights still malfunctioning in two locations, St. Charles Rock Road at Hilltop Plaza and on I-55 at Butler Hill. And they're also working an injury accident on Natural Bridge at Kings Highway. At the bridges, the westbound lanes of 5570 are slow between 4th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, but normal traffic on the Eads Bridge between the Illinois Bank and Laclede's Landing. Let's take a look at our WGNU forecast for this Thursday, and in fact go into Saturday at this time. Much of what we're having right now, we're going to get pretty much the next couple of days. Cloudy skies, thunderstorms likely with a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, cloudy, showers and thunderstorms again likely, low in the mid-60s. For Friday, cloudy, thunderstorms likely, the high in the upper 70s. Friday night, a broken record as it were, cloudy, showers, thunderstorms likely, and the low in the mid-60s. We'll take the rain out of the forecast on Saturday, mostly cloudy conditions with the high in the lower 80s. And the low tonight, or Saturday night, make that, in the mid-60s. Temperature hasn't budged too much in the past couple of hours. It is still 71 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, some rain here and there in the area. Watch your speed and watch your braking. 71 degrees at AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you. And joining Liz in the next hour, Jamala Rogers and Justice for Reggie here on AM 920.
Revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers, brothers and sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers, brothers and sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown, and this is Thursday. That means it's Thursday morning. That means that it's time for Justice for Reggie. And I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Very good. Jamala, this is kind of a look back, keep up, update type of a show this morning, right?
Yeah, this is our monthly wrap-up, and there's just been so much that has happened and so much that is poised to happen. But, you know, one of the things that I think we need to do is just to remind people of why there is a Justice for Reggie show each Thursday. I mean, obviously, one is based on your generosity of giving up that hour. But the other thing is that the compelling case of the Chain of Rocks Bridge, where four young men were caught in the traps of the criminal justice system, for three of them being African-American males and one young white male, and the three young black men all got the death penalty. Reggie Clemens, Marlon Gray, and Antonio Richardson all were facing the death penalty. And, you know, through, you know, much, much struggle for mentally retarded, as well as being able to challenge the courts on whether or not judges have the right to impose the death penalty, Antonio Richardson had his sentence vacated to life without the possibility of parole. And as we know, sadly, Marlon was executed in October 2005. And now, once again, Reggie is facing the death penalty as Jay Nixon sent over 10 names, including Reggie's, after the federal court's ruling had been appealed. So this is a, you know, another pivotal place in this case in terms of what happens, who gets to be selected once the death machine gets to cranking up again. And, you know, there's not necessarily any order that they go in. I mean, it was unprecedented that he sent over 10 names. I don't even think that's been done in Texas. It leads us in execution. So that definitely was a message to the state of Missouri. It was a message to folks who have been advocating a complete overhaul of the system. And there's just so many examples of where the Attorney General has not used his office to advance the cause of justice. In fact, has tried to suppress cases. And that goes from...
And this is a man that wants to be governor.
He wants to be our governor. He wants to be our governor. And there's not a whole lot that he can say that he's done for African Americans. But certainly when you look at the state and his alliances with, you know, the business community, I don't think we can expect too much under his term.
And I'm looking at this amazing story that came out of the an AP wrote it, an Associated Press writer, Jim Salter, executed man's guilt is questioned. I don't know how many times that that we've had a story with that headline, but it's a story that comes out of St. Louis. And even the first line of the story kind of speaks in my mind, Jamala, to how we're in a different place with the death penalty. The first line out of the article is, to the very end, convicted killer Larry Griffin shouted his innocence to the world through court filings and pleas to the governor and to nearly any reporter willing to listen. This article is an extraordinary statement about that Missouri has done something that has executed an innocent man.
Absolutely, and every time I think about the Larry Griffin case, I mean, there's many sad cases across the country and even in Missouri, but Larry Griffin was one that we knew. We knew even from our own investigation at the time that he could not have been the killer. Yet, you know, there was no even. I mean, it was just a pitiful kind of. Offense that was put up to entrap him and to send him to the death chambers. And as the article indicates, to the very end, he was saying, please, look at this case. You know, you all executing an innocent man. I mean, it's the same thing that Marlon Gray said. So, I mean, here we have the last please, and it just really tugs at your heart to know that people who have the power said, so what, you know? So what?
And we have to take a break here. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
More to come with Liz Brown and Jamala Rogers on Justice for Reggie, part of the award-winning wake-up call here on AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405. Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and we're doing our monthly wrap-up here. Jamala, I pulled a couple of stories off the web because I wanted to just kind of like get a verification in my own mind and to just feel like what we are doing here is an issue that percolates through all of this country and even all across the world. I was looking at this article about one of the fired U.S. attorneys last year, Paul Charlton. He testified in Washington, D.C., and this is out of the Seattle Times, that Alberto Gonzalez, our attorney general, the one that has fired all of these federal prosecutors. He has, one of the reasons why he fired a lot of these prosecutors is that he wanted these federal prosecutors to seek the death penalty. And the Justice Department had branded this former U.S. attorney, Paul Charlton, branded him disloyalty because he opposed the death penalty in pursuing the death penalty in an Arizona murder case where no body had been recovered. You know, here we have, this is Alberto Gonzalez. The death penalty is impacting on who he is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we had sort of figured that that was going to be one of the underlying themes for those prosecutors being appointed in the first place. And in some cases, Liz, where the death penalty is the law of the land for that state, I mean, that's a cloak for them to hide under, because it's like, well, you know, this is the law of the land, and I'm in, supposed to, uphold the law of the land, so I have to deal with the death penalty, whether that's my personal belief or not. But Liz, there are so many places where they don't even have to pursue it in the way that they do, and still, with the zest and zeal, they do so. So, for example, in the case of, again, Attorney General Nixon, when Sean O'Brien was on the show a couple of weeks ago and we talked about the Dale Hemlock case, when finally Sean O'Brien, who was the attorney for Dale Hemlock, who was facing murder of his own mother, despite no evidence linking him or anything, it finally gets before appeals judge, and Judge Nosy, he says, well, all these other claims of innocence, I'm going to dismiss. But this one about this map, I'm compelled to do something about it, because during the deliberations of the jury, a bailiff brought in a map that had not been introduced as evidence. So the map was supposed to show them how.
Can I just interrupt for a second so that people understand? Because you said very quickly that had not a map that. Bailiff brought in a map that had not been introduced as evidence. That's a huge deal. Anything that a jury is allowed to look at, anything that a jury is allowed to consider, anything that a jury gets to touch has to be determined by the court to be in evidence. And there are processes and procedures that both attorneys, whoever is trying to introduce this piece of evidence, has to go through before the decision is made that this is something that the jury can consider. And every trial is supposed to be based upon evidence that is in evidence that is brought into evidence. So the fact that this was a map that was not introduced, that was not accepted, that was not approved by the court for as something that the jury can look at, is a huge deal. It is almost one of the most unfair things that can happen. It's like a bailiff bringing in a knife that said, this is what the knife looked like that killed this dude, but the judge and the attorneys didn't introduce that evidence.
And Liz, thanks for that explanation, because that was a huge deal. But the fact that they may have lost this case, they got desperate. They got desperate. And so here you have a bailiff who brings in a map trying to convince the jury, and it had markings on it as to how Dale could have gotten from point A to point B in a certain time. When Sean's office went back to, because they didn't even know anything about this map. How would they? How could they? It was never introduced as evidence. When they later interviewed the jury and they talked about this map, there was at least one juror who said her vote changed as a result of the map.
So her vote changed from not guilty to guilty.
Right. And so on the basis of that alone, Judge Nosy said, okay, that is the claim that I'm going to allow to stand, and he called for a new trial. Now, immediately, Nixon sends an emergency order, contesting that. And to me, that's the point when an attorney general can say, wait a minute, I didn't know about the map. This is egregious. You know, I need to support this judge and this ruling. What does he do? He goes and does that.
But here's the other thing also, Jamala, too. Let's just consider this from partisan politics, okay? This is a case where a Republican made his bones, right? A Republican got to get an advancement. If you a partisan dude like you supposed to be, Democrat versus Republican, right? Why would you do anything that gives credibility to the enemy, which would be the Republicans?
Right.
So just on partisan reasons, he should say, see, that's why we shouldn't have Republicans in charge, because they don't know how to try the cases, because they allow this kind of stuff to happen, and now we're going to have to try this case again because this Republican did wrong.
Right.
He
right.
could have done it on partisan reasons.
It all sounds so logical, but obviously there's such a fixation on the death penalty to give it whenever and wherever and however you can that gets thrown out the window. You know, partisan politics, decency, justice, all of that is sacrificed on in the courtroom when you are trying to get a death penalty.
And let's be clear with this, Jamala. This was a white guy.
This was a white guy in rural Missouri who got the shaft.
That's back. That's back.
And as a result of Kenny Hushoff prosecuting that case, he went on to become congressman of the 9th District.
That is correct.
So there's always promotions with these things, and until we as citizens make it unpopular to give the death penalty, and I'm saying unpopular in a way that there's no...
That you get advancement off. If you make your bones on a death penalty case, how bloody are your hands when your advancement came at as a result of the death penalty? We're going to take a quick break here. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. We are talking about justice for Reggie. This is Thursday. We're doing our monthly wrap-up. We have so much stuff to talk to you all about. Stay with us.
An inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
8:30 at AM 920 WGMU. Time now to take a look at traffic on this Thursday morning. It looks something like this. Traffic back to normal on eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and 270, but watch for an accident on westbound 270 between the Forestell and Wright City exits. The right lane is blocked. An earlier accident has been cleared from Page and Olive. No problems to report. Still working with defective traffic lights at Butler Hill and I-55 and St. Charles Rock Road at Hilltop Plaza. If you're driving east on the Poplar Street Bridge, watch for a slow-moving maintenance vehicle, which has traffic a bit slowed in that general area. Traffic returned to normal, though, on westbound 4064 between McCausland and Handley. Temperature's gone up a couple of degrees, 73 right now at AM 920 WGNU. Still calling for showers and thunderstorms through Friday night. Highs during both days in the upper 70s, the low both evenings in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy on Saturday, high in the 80s. Partly cloudy Saturday night, the low in the mid-60s. And once again, we have 70 degrees, or check that, make that 73 degrees now at AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you. And we'll be back with Jamala Rogers and Liz and more Justice for Reggie following this.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and I just want to thank our sponsors of Justice for Reggie, Church of God in Christ. Bishop Ward has been so generous in his continued support of this show, and the financial support is what we need to help keep this show keeping on. And Jamala, before we get to some of the other issues that we're going to discuss, I want to throw this out at you. Kyrgyzstan. Okay, Kyrgyzstan's president signed into law legislation abolishing the death penalty in this Central Asian nation. Isn't that something? This affects 174 men now on death row in the ex-Soviet Union Republic.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's good news.
Yes, it is.
That's good news, and it represents a growing trend across the country because it's clear that, I mean, there's some people, Liz, that don't believe in the death penalty under any circumstances. But there's some people who believe that the death penalty should be reserved for those who commit the most heinous crimes. But that's not been the way that it operates. It's been very capricious, very arbitrary, and in fact very racist and very classist. And so there's no way that it could be administered in a fair way. So hearing that and seeing what's happening in this country is really, really good news.
All right, then, and let's go to New Mexico, then, if we're going to talk some more about this. What did a judge do recently in New Mexico?
Well, a judge ruled that the death penalty is unconstitutional. And so, you know, to me, when judges sort of on their own kind of take that personal step forward, which is pretty bold now, it's not going to affect death penalty cases in the state. But the fact that he did it based on a study of how jurors look at the death penalty and administer the death penalty, he felt like he had to do that. So I think we won't probably see a whole lot of judges doing that, but we're certainly going to see more and more citizens who are saying, as a prospective juror, I cannot give the death penalty knowing what I know.
And think
about it, Liz. How about the people who were in the jury deliberation in the Dale Havnick case and knew that map was illegal? And you just gave a man the death penalty. I mean, he got the death penalty, but it was overturned. So, I mean, you don't even have all the information and the facts given to you to make an informed decision.
And let's go back even further. Let's talk about the fact that nobody was punished for giving him that map.
No.
Where did the map come from?
Right.
Obviously, it didn't come from the defense.
Right.
So it came from the prosecution.
Right.
So how? So Kenny Holsup gets promoted to Congress, a bailiff who brings in what he knows is illegal stuff.
Right.
And nobody gets punished for that. And I want to go back to the Albuquerque, New Mexico story. Also, this state district judge Tim Garcia said that the reason why that jurors have made up their minds before they've decided on the death penalty, before they've decided whether someone is guilty. And this goes to the whole when you pre-qualify people for the death penalty. It makes no sense to have a system, Jamala, where you can be kicked off of serving as a juror to decide whether or not somebody will get the death penalty if you have problems with the death penalty.
And Liz, you know this from being a defense attorney. This is the only time when that kind of outright prejudicial criteria is reserved. So, for example, if I'm a victim of a robbery, that's not going to exclude me on a robbery case.
Not right away.
But I can say I can still be fair and impartial, and I may end up on that juror.
All you have to do is can you set aside that the language that is asked, all lawyers ask this when you are doing voir dire, qualifying the jurors, can you set aside those feelings? Okay, and be fair and impartial. I could say I don't like the death penalty. I don't think that it's fair, but I could set aside those feelings. But the person that says, yeah, you betcha, eye for an eye, you know, I believe in the death penalty, that person can be and is kept on the jury.
Exactly.
And how fair is that? So the judge said that the most logical thing at all, the judge, Tim Garcia, the state district judge in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who has found that the death penalty is unconstitutional, said that, well, that's arbitrary and capricious, and therefore that violates the Constitution, both federal and state. How can it be fair when somebody has arbitrarily said, well, yeah, you're getting the death penalty before you even decide your guilt?
Right, exactly.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jamala.
Good morning.
To me, the alarm bell goes off when you were talking about the firing of the district attorneys that were making political decisions in the judicial system. The alarm bell goes off because no one speaks about the district attorneys that have been retained. And I'm willing to bet that those who were retained, if you looked into their records, a lot of their decisions are politically motivated. And I'm sick and tired of Bush and Gonzalez messing with the judicial, the decaying judicial system. Personally, I think the judicial system stinks in this country.
Thank you,
Liz.
Thanks for your call, Dimitri. And, Jamala, you know, I mean, does the judicial system stink?
Yeah, and it really is going to take citizens to counteract. I mean, we may not be completely able to transform it in a way that it needs to be, but I think we can really put some dents in that. And first of all, by refusing to give the death penalty in any circumstance so that they get a message too, because we never know as a jury how we've been manipulated to after the fact. And then it's too late. I mean, we can't count on another court, an appeals court, doing the right thing, because once it happens, Liz, it's almost like it's on a fast-moving locomotive, and it's not going to stop. And that's in the case of Reggie Clemens and so many more, where they never got the opportunity to either see how the process unfolded in the trial level or to look at, you know, some claims. You know, none of that is really respected until the clemency phase, and that's why it really does need the death penalty piece of it really needs to be reformed.
And let's go to Wayne Williams. Wayne Williams,
yeah,
is back in the news.
This was kind of quiet, but you know, there's some DNA movement on Wayne Williams.
And Wayne Williams has always said, I didn't do this. And remind people who Wayne Williams is.
Wayne Williams is the young man back in a 1982 conviction, was convicted of 29 murders in Atlanta. And it was called the Missing and Murdered Children. And 27 of those were young African-American children, and males, and two were females, and it was such a high-profile situation that they had to get anybody, somebody. And, of course, once Wayne Williams was convicted, almost immediately flaws in the case started to appear. But it was almost like they couldn't allow it to come forward because they had already pursued this path of him as the only person. And whoever, I mean,
but also we got out of this, too, a person of African descent being a serial killer.
Exactly. And that was huge news at the time, Liz, huge news. This boy's been in prison for over 25 years, still, you know, confessing his innocence. And, you know, there's been movies made about his innocence. Still no movement. So the DNA order that was placed had to do with the hairs of his dog and the hairs, animal hairs found on some of the victims, and that has been inconclusive. But what was interesting to me is that there was also a blood sample. And, of course, the DNA at that point is nowhere near the DNA at this point. And now that blood sample is missing.
And how familiar is that?
How familiar is that? And so, to me, you know, that's why we have to send a signal to the prosecutors, to the attorney generals of the land, that this kind of behavior is unacceptable. Where you can suppress evidence, you can lose evidence, you can contaminate evidence, you cannot admit evidence. I mean, you know, the average person really, and I think that's one of the reasons why this show is important, Liz, is because when you start to peel back all the layers, you realize as a person sitting in that chair in the courtroom, you almost have no rights. And you have a whole system that's hell-bent to finding you guilty, whether you are or not.
And this takes us almost full circle to the Mike Nifon case, because this case is so individual. There is no other case like this that I know of that has happened in this country that a prosecutor, not just an assistant prosecutor, but a prosecutor has been barred from practice. And so when you have, first of all, you have to deal with the fact that that's a unique case. And so you have to look at, well, what are the elements that involved this case that gave rise to his disbarment? Well, we have a black victim. We have a black female victim. The charge is rape.
Huh?
And the accused are white, young white males. And interestingly
young,
enough,
white affluent males.
Young white affluent males in a community where they are not only affluent, but they're involved in a sport that makes a particular university what that university is. That university is what that town is. That university represents money throughout that town and throughout the educational industry. So we have their affluence is attached to several different institutions. So we have a white male who is defending a black female who is charged, and a black female, we can throw sex in there because we're going to throw sex in there,
right?
Because a black woman is a dancer. Don't she's a mother and a student as well, but they're not going to say that. So we have a black woman dancer slash prostitute, because if she's doing that, then she must be that. So we have a unsavory victim anyway, because a woman that is accusing a white male of rape anyway has
right.
got problems.
How dare her?
How dare she? And she's not going to get anywhere. Then we have a black woman. Then we have a black woman who dances for a living doing this, and then actually indicting those boys on that. So help me with understanding of why this prosecutor, whose accusation is that he called them names, called the defendants names, and screwed up some evidence that would have helped the defense in their case. And screwed up, nobody's ever said it was intentional. Nobody's ever proved that it was intentional. It was a screw up. So he got disbarred and lost his job. No, he lost his job and got disbarred.
He got disbarred, lost his job. He'll be financially bankrupt because they're going to be suing him. And then they're still saying criminal charges may be filed. So he got himself in a whole heap of trouble.
And what is the difference here? What is the difference here? Show me where a prosecutor gets disbarred.
Right.
Show me where a prosecutor gets reprimanded. We have a bailiff that brought in a map for a jury that was not part of the evidence. And nobody got nothing happened to him.
Liz, if we start to calculate the kind of deceitful, illegal, unethical things that prosecutors have done, far worse than what Mike Nifon has done, I think most people would be amazed. I mean, we even in the Reggie Clemens case where we told people that the prosecutor sent in his own investigator into the jury pool to say they're guilty. I think they did it, contaminating a potential juror. I mean, that kind of stuff is routine. I mean, you don't even know about it sometimes.
And you know what the prosecutor would say? Well, he blamed it on his investigator. I didn't tell him that. Mike Nifon, nobody is saying that Mike Nifon said, no, I can't find this evidence. He could have always said, I told somebody to do it, and they didn't do it.
Exactly.
He could have it's not like he had his fingerprints on it. And remember, this went to a grand jury as well.
Absolutely.
So because a grand jury gave it, and so now the prosecutors have fallen for getting a grand jury to do what the grand jury is supposed to do, we have to take a break here.
Okay.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
I want you to infiltrate the house and waste some energy.
We'll just sneak into these leaky windows.
Just like we thought, boss. No insulation in the attic.
Perfect. Now go wild and waste some wattage.
The Mitchell House. A house like many others, except this one's under attack by energy hogs. They show up anywhere energy's being wasted.
Talk to me, hogs.
The washer, it's not Energy Star rated.
Outstanding. What about the thermostat?
Not programmable. I repeat, not programmable.
Looks like we're living high on the hog.
Only one person has the power to get rid of energy hogs. You.
Hold on! Someone's home!
And he's got energy-efficient light bulbs!
To find out how you can fight energy hogs, log on to energyhog.org. You'll find fun games and lots of tips on making your home more energy-efficient.
Now he's installing Energy Star appliances.
Not Energy Star! That's it! Get out of there! I'll get you, energyhog.org!
Hey! Wait for me!
Brought to you by the Alliance to Save Energy, the Department of Energy, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. It's Thursday. That means it's Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with the Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, let me get to some of our callers, please.
Okay.
Cheryl, you have a question. Cheryl. Joe.
This is Joe again.
Yes.
About these prosecuting attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the former governor of Illinois commuted all the death penalty?
Governor Ryan, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he said some of them would get life imprisonment, what are actually known. And the others, and some of the other people, you know, they accused were found out, like on the national news media, they was completely innocent. And these state attorney generals or whoever it is doing the prosecution demonized the governor. And so how bad he was, you know, some of his little, you know, how the politicians had some corruption to pay off. They was bringing that up, all that stuff up. Instead of the thing on the death penalty, some of these people were accused of murder and stuff were actually found out innocent. It was on the national news and everything.
All right. And we've talked about that. But thank you, Joe, for that.
Okay.
You know, and that's the point here. Not a single prosecutor lost their job, lost a position, lost a single bit of anything with when all of those innocent men walked out of jail. But this prosecutor, I mean, they were tried and convicted.
Exactly.
This prosecutor lost his job, lost his license, and is going to lose everything if he decides that he wants to live anymore. He's going to lose everything.
And Liz, I mean, I want us to take note, because to me, and I think we should keep reminding people about the Mike Nifon case, because it is unprecedented. And we now see what it takes to send a message. And so I think we have to begin looking at the ways that they pulled Mike Nifon down off of his pedestal and made him almost the same criminal that he's been putting behind bars. We have to take the same kind of aggressive approach when it comes to these attorney generals and these prosecutors.
They OJ'd Simpson him. They truly did. They truly did. Cheryl.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
Fine.
I just tuned in. I don't know if you all had even addressed the Eleanor Reasonover prosecutor. Did you all bring that up?
In what context?
Well, the fact that was prosecutorial misconduct in that case, don't you agree? Didn't she spend half of her life for a crime she didn't commit?
Not half of her life, but she spent a big hunk of her life.
Yes, and that was, and they pursued her on very little evidence, and they just, I mean, and were it not for one person on her jury, she would be on death row.
There you go.
So
there
is that not similar case that where there's very let's be clear.
Everybody that had their finger on the prosecution of that case got promoted big time.
Right.
Got promoted from.
It is from the investigating police detective. I'm talking about if this started that low. Everybody got a promotion up the line.
And thank you for that, Cheryl, because that's also another great point. But I have to bring up the author that I had on the show last week, David Rose with the Big Eddie Club, and another man that is an innocent person on death row in Georgia. David Rose, in his book, the Big Eddie Club, talks about how it wasn't just the chief prosecutor, but all of the investigators in that case went on to bigger and better things.
Absolutely. And so we need to send a message that no longer are these people, these are public servants. See, that's the difference. These are people that's supposed to be working for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's no different than the eye on the loo when we talk about all the money that the stadium and the ballpark is taking from us. We need to be aware, not just aware of these things, but we need to be moving on them, because these are our taxpaying dollars.
Absolutely. Let me get to Dolores here.
Good morning, Jamala and Dr. Brown.
Good morning.
You know, the state of Illinois is refusing to give former Governor Ryan his retirement because of his commuting those death sentences. He's been a state employee for years.
Well, they would say that they're refusing to give it to him because of the corruption piece. But
the only reason they demonized him was because he commuted those sentences.
I know that some people that was that. Well, let's find another way to get at him.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Dee. Thank you for that.
But again, Liz, they are making examples out of people. We need to be doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And
even when they do right, they make an example out of them.
Absolutely.
So he did the right thing. He was faced with overwhelming, compelling evidence that system over there was broke, and he did something about it.
Yes, he did.
And he's been demonized, and even what he's done, as historic as it was, has been overshadowed by the indictments.
Absolutely. And not only as historical as that was, but as righteous as that was. So what they're saying is they're sullying what righteousness is. They're by connecting corruption to his commutation of those sentences, they're saying that they're lessening what righteousness is. They're sullying it up.
Absolutely. And even when we go to the Gennaro Wilson case, and this is the case of the young man who committed consensual sex while he was underage, that we're heading for a showdown with that one, Liz. And I say that because
I talked to the attorney on that case, and she has been running ragged on that.
Yeah, I tried
to
get her on Reggie Thursday, so.
Well, you need to leave her alone because she's supposed to be on this show.
Okay.
Okay.
As long as she's on here, because that is a story to be told.
Yeah.
But the showdown is that now the $1 million bond that they put on him, say, okay, you can, you know, get out. You'll never make this. They have all these, like, wealthy white businesses that businessmen have put up money. So now what y'all gonna do?
And the other piece of it is that we saw a editorial coming out of the Atlanta Constitution that is unprecedented. The editorial out of the Atlanta Constitution gave the phone number, gave the name, and gave the direction to all of the citizens that read the Atlanta Constitution. You need to call this prosecutor and tell him this is crap. And you need to call him and call him and call him and call him because this is wrong.
Liz, here was a honor student, a star athlete, prom king. This boy had a promising future, just like the Duke lacrosse player.
That's right.
And look where he is.
And not only that, we have to understand this too. This is Georgia, okay? This isn't the first time that something like this has happened in Georgia. Now, this was videotaped, okay? The little girl in this case, was she black or was she white?
He was white.
She was white. So, little girl who went. Now, you have to also, I've got to give credit to this little girl. This was oral sex, okay? She was videotaped performing this with this young boy. Both of them, she's what, 15? He's 17.
He was 15, yeah.
Okay, she's 15, he's 17. She's doing this. It's videotaped. It got out there in the internet world. Prosecutor comes to her, and one of the things to put him in jail for longer would have been that it was against her will.
Right.
And she said to them, and this is after she's been videotaped as a 15-year-old doing this in front of her mama and daddy and everybody, she's saying, I did this consensually. I've got to give her props for that.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
You know how much
in the South
pressure.
Is,
oh, for anywhere.
Particularly
in the South, but anywhere in America, okay? Anywhere in America. Come on. This is a white girl, little black boy, and she's saying, and she's 15, and she's saying, I did this consensually. Come on.
No, that.
Okay?
I
the pressure.
I definitely gave her props because I could imagine the kind of pressure that she was under. Honey, we need you to do this. So
not even honey.
Really put him away.
Not even honey. I think they even dropped the honey piece. They were like, you are white, he is black, you know this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And every little white girl out there needs to be protected. And if you say that this is consensual, then that hurts our case.
Right.
You know, so this is a huge, huge, huge case.
We're getting ready to have a showdown.
Yeah, we are.
Be a showdown.
Yeah, we are.
This case has received so much attention. And the other thing that's interesting about this case, the attorney general that's blocking the release of him on bond is African American.
Yep, shame on him. Shame on him.
There could be act of justice on the part of these people, and they refuse to do it.
And he's not getting disbarred, is he?
No.
He's not. Nobody is asking for. So here we again, but it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Listen, the music's coming up. This hour has gone so fast. Jamala, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And next week, Liz, our guest will be Rachel Lyon, who's the producer of the documentary Race to Execution. So.
And Race to Execution will be shown at 7 o'clock at the Missouri History Museum on July 9th.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jamala.
Okay.
See you next week. Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, and coming at you in our last hour, we're going to talk about a Supreme Court decision, a recent one. Do we have separation of church and state anymore? I don't know. After listening to this, after reading, after reviewing this last decision by this court, I beg to differ. Stay with us.
I will never say that Congress is...
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Blocked subpoenas seeking information about the firings of non-U.S. attorneys from two congressional committees. ABC's Louise Schiavone explains.
The president's lawyer, Fred Fielding, has told Congress the White House is not prepared to hand over documents related to the firings of several federal prosecutors. Congress had subpoenaed documents relating to former presidential counsel Harriet Myers and former political director Sarah Taylor, but the White House is claiming executive privilege.
Relentless rain is making flooding worse in parts of Texas, where it's already blamed for at least 11 deaths. Firefighters are more than halfway home in their battle against a wildfire in South Lake Tahoe, California. It's 55% contained. Forest Service spokesman Rich Hawkins says it was caused by humans, but...
Is it cigarette smoking, a campfire, or some other cause? That we have not determined yet.
How rough is your road to work? That depends on where you live. ABC's Jim Hickey has a look at the road rankings.
If you're sitting in your car right now in California, Minnesota, New Jersey, or North Carolina, chances are you are stuck in the worst traffic jams in the country. The study finds 70% of interstate highways in those states qualify as congested. More than half of the interstates nationwide are gridlocked, says the Reason Foundation study. But there is good news. Road conditions are generally getting better, meaning that once you are out of that traffic jam, it ought to be a smooth ride. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The co-founder of World Wrestling Entertainment tells ABC News the stress of caring for his mentally challenged son may have been what made pro wrestler Chris Benoit snap. Benoit killed his wife and son before killing himself. Do you own a cell phone? There's a 50-50 chance you do. A new study finds half of everyone on the planet owns one, and more are selling at the dizzying pace of 1,000 a minute. The number of mobile phones is expected to top 3 billion next month. This is ABC News.
Brace yourselves, because I'm going to bring up a subject nobody likes to think about, buying a used car. I know, painful. Well, I've got a painless solution. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. They'll even provide a Carfax vehicle history report. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
If you're thinking about doing a little home improvement this weekend, then Lowe's Big July 4th event is the place you should be looking. Because today, if you spend $299 or more and put everything on your Lowe's consumer credit card, you can ask for special financing for 12 months. And now, via mail-in rebate, get $5 off 1 gallon and $20 off 5 gallons of Valspar interior and exterior paint. Plus, take 10% off all in-stock major appliance purchases, $397 or more. Lowe's. Let's build something together. See store for details.
The British are preparing for a marine invasion, but ABC's Linda Albin tells us it's a friendly one.
Rubber ducky, you're the one.
Their journey has been a long and dangerous one, but a flotilla of an estimated 10,000 rubber duckies is headed for British beaches. The ducks began life in a Chinese factory, but ended up in the Pacific after being shipwrecked en route to the U.S. Oceanographer Curtis Ebesmeyer has been tracking the nearly 30,000 ducks for 15 years, two-thirds washed up on beaches, while the remainder that weren't crushed by icebergs or trapped in currents are headed for southwest England. The ducks, which have been bleached white by sun and sea, are a valuable bounty. The American distributors are offering $100 for every duck retrieved. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
The bald eagle is making a bold comeback. Once threatened with extinction by chemicals and hunters, the symbol of America has soared back to vitality. Scientists have counted 10,000 mating pairs, and they're ready to cross the majestic birds off the endangered species list. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Governor Matt Blunt has signed off on the new state budget. Blunt made only minor changes to the $21.5 billion spending plan, vetoing money to cover parking for public defenders and fixing a drafting error in the corrections budget. The budget includes more money for schools, colleges, and medical providers. It also features raises for judges, some elected officials, and state workers. The state's new fiscal year begins on Sunday, so Governor Blunt had to sign the budget bills this week. A former Metro East postal worker is headed to jail. A federal judge ordered 35-year-old Tracy Eckert of Edwardsville to spend 4 weekends in jail for stealing gift cards from the mail. Authorities say she cashed in gift cards from birthday and wedding cards. Eckert must also pay $101 in restitution and $900 in fines and fees. She pleaded guilty in March to 3 counts of theft of mail. Finally this hour, Chris Carpenter is still on the road to recovery. The Cy Young Award winner threw from the mound again yesterday during a scrimmage between minor leaguers in Jupiter, Florida. Team trainer Barry Weinberg says that Carpenter did well in his first competitive outing since the season opener. His surgically repaired elbow will be checked out this morning. If he has no ill effects from yesterday's game, he will begin his rehab assignment as early as next Monday. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
And approaching 6 minutes past 9 o'clock, I'm Charles Gere, bringing you this WGNU traffic report on this Thursday morning. Not a heck of a lot to report, to be perfectly honest. Mostly road construction and the usual slowdowns and constrictions among them on I-64 in both directions between, I have to check my glasses here, North 81st Street and Old Collinsville Road. Roadway reduced two lanes, construction continuing in that area. The left lane of eastbound 5570 between Illinois 157 and Interstate 270 is closed for construction. Also, both directions on Illinois 157 between Illinois 162 and Keebler Road. That's between Granite City and Collinsville. And another Illinois of note, Illinois Route 15 between Greenmount Trail and Rogers Drive. Road construction continuing. And one more thing to look at on page at Highway 180, a.k.a. the Rock Road. Roadway down to one lane at that intersection. Other than that, not much else to report in the way of traffic. Not much else in the forecast either. Still, if you liked yesterday, you'll like today. If you didn't, you won't like this either. Cloudy skies, thunderstorms likely today, tonight, Friday, and Friday night. Highs both days in the upper 70s, the low both evenings, tonight and Friday night in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy minus the rain on Saturday with a high in the lower 80s. Partly cloudy Saturday night, the low in the mid-60s. 75 degrees, the current reading now, both at AM 920, WGNU, and officially at Lambert Field. Time coming up on 7.5 minutes past 9 o'clock. We continue with the final hour of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call for this Thursday morning. Okay, that's easy for me to say. On AM 920, WGNU, the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers how to discuss. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers how to discuss.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to talk about. There is much buzz amongst those that follow the politics of this nation. There's much buzz about the decisions that are going to come down in these final days of this newly configured Supreme Court session. Of interest to many of you, I know, is the issue with respect to color in this country. Whether or not schools can make decisions based on color. Oh, it's an amazing thing. Some 50 years, nearly 50 years. After Brown versus Board of Education, we have a Supreme Court fixing to make a decision. And that will put schools back, conceivably, put schools back to where they were 50 years ago, saying that we have reached a point where color does no longer matter. We don't see any color, so we can't make a decision on color anymore. Interesting. But that's not the only decision that folks have been looking at coming out of this newly configured United States Supreme Court. We don't want to gloss over the fact or overlook the fact or not dissect the fact that there was another. And you've heard this prediction. You'll hear this prediction here first. It will be a 5-4 decision on that school affirmative action issue, color issue. But there was another 5-4 decision. Hine versus Freedom from Religion Foundation. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about these decisions coming out of this court. And in order to facilitate that conversation, I have the executive director of the American Humanist Association, Roy Spreckert, joining me from Washington. Roy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Liz.
It's a pleasure to have you. First of all, what is the American Humanist Association?
We're sort of an odd organization that's a cross between an advocacy organization and a philosophical society.
That is odd.
And it's because the philosophy of humanism is a progressive one, though based in secular values. We've come to look at the knowledge around us and make decisions about what we think is right and wrong. And that's led us in an extraordinarily progressive direction. And those members wouldn't be happy with us if we weren't spending most of our time advocating for those positions.
Well, you just can't lay still. You know, I mean, you have to advocate. You have to advocate. So I'm looking at a quote from you. Let me share it with the audience if you don't mind.
Sure.
The Supreme Court's decision allows the executive branch to steamroll over the establishment cause and spend our money to promote sectarian causes. Dissect that for us.
Well, in this decision that they just, Hine versus Freedom from Religion Foundation, they said lawsuits against the federal government's executive branch are unconstitutionally promoting religion can't be filed anymore on behalf of taxpayers. Now, they said it's okay for us to bring lawsuits against Congress, but not against the executive branch, which is absurd in its application, of course.
Well, it's also scarily consistent with the administration's practices for the last 6 years that no rules apply to the executive branch.
That's for sure.
And we have to take a quick break here. I'm talking to the executive director of the American Humanists Association, Roy Spreckert, and we're talking about Hine versus Freedom from Religion Foundation, the Supreme Court decision, where the Supreme Court found that lawsuits against the federal government's executive branch for unconstitutionality can no longer be filed on behalf of taxpayers, at least as it applies to promoting religion. We're going to talk about that when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. Just to be close to you. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Don't go away. There is more to come on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown here on AM 920 WGNU.
The place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands: Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics: TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Back Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with the Executive Director of the American Humanist Association, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C., Roy Spreckert. And, Roy, we're talking about this case of Hine versus Freedom from a Religion Foundation. Can we go back? Can you explain to us what happened that gave rise to this lawsuit?
Well, the Faith-Based Initiatives Office that Bush set up, since he couldn't get it legislated through by executive order, was charged with giving out federal grants to faith-based organizations around the country. However, it's based on a myth that there was discrimination against religious groups in these funding. The language from the agencies regarding the need to level the playing field shows this coordinated effort to mislead the public into thinking there was discrimination against faith-based organizations. But when David Kuo's book came out last year, he mentioned that his staff made hundreds of calls and couldn't find an example of such discrimination.
Mm. So a suit was filed.
That's right. The Freedom From Religion Foundation brought suit, saying that this is not good use of our taxpayer money in violation of our First Amendment right to church-state separation. And the court decided to hear it just on the grounds of whether they had standing as taxpayers.
And so this was purely a standing issue?
In the court's decision, yes.
So when it made it to the Supreme Court, what were they considering?
Only whether a taxpayer can bring a suit against an executive branch decision or structure.
Was there ever any question, Roy, that whether these are taxpayers' dollars? It's not like this is money that came out of George Bush's pocket. These are taxpayers' dollars, right?
Oh, that's for sure. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, and you're questioning, challenging whether or not, or it's being challenged whether or not these taxpayers' money are going, are connecting to religions, right?
That's absolutely right.
And so was that a question of whether or not this was taxpayers' money?
No question there at all. It was taxpayers' money. The only question was whether taxpayers had a right to sue on their constitutional basis. And Souter argued rather vociferously in his dissent that we certainly do have such a right, and to take it away from us really gives a free ride to the executive branch.
And it's the executive branch. So then the executive, what I'm hearing from this decision, Roy, is that the executive branch then can decide to give the money to or direct the money to anybody that the executive branch wants to? And I can't challenge that taxpayer's expenditure?
That's correct.
One of the things that I read was that, first of all, tell us who were the people in the majority of this, and what did they say?
Well, the majority consisted of the five Catholic conservatives who we've seen on a number of other cases coming together, most obviously the one to uphold the Federal Partial Birth Abortion Act.
And should we make note of the fact that all of them are Catholics? Is that important to note, you think?
I think it's interesting to note in that
all of the Catholic justices were on this side of the the issue.
Right, this case as well as that one, where they were breaking with past precedent in order to implement these more conservative ideas that Bush has been trying to get into the court and now finally has enough justices to succeed.
So, breaking with past precedent, what is that?
Well, as Souter described, there's a long history. I mean, going back to the Founding Fathers, he said the importance of this type of injury has deep historical roots going back to the ideas of religious liberty and James Madison's memorial and remonstrance against religious assessments. I mean, this is something that's been part of case law for hundreds of years, and that has been overturned in this decision.
And if we want to just, like, get down to the real specifics and meat of this, One of the places where the faith-based money went to was a place called the Healing Place Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Talk to us about their mission.
Oh, sure. Now, this is a church that an example of where Bush said we should give our faith-based initiative money in his 2003 State of the Union address.
So this is a big deal. He specifically singled out this Healing Place Church in Baton
right.
Rouge, and he said that this is specifically where we want this faith-based money to go to.
Now, they, according to their own information, say that
their website, they said it themselves,
exist to assist those who are struggling with addiction to become free through the power of God. And they do this relying solely on the foundation of the Word of God to break the bands of addiction.
Now, there is nothing illegal or wrong in America for a church to believe that, to advocate that, or to even set up programs to do that, is there, Roy?
Oh, certainly not. We should try every method and everything we can think of to help our fellow people around here.
But the problem is with this is?
The federal dollars. Taxpayer money shouldn't be used to treat addiction as a sin instead of a disease. And some of the programs where the federal tax dollars are going to are doing that.
Because I'm going to try to dissect these words as I see them. They are breaking addiction solely on the foundation of the Word of God. The Word of God will break the bands of addiction. So that means that in order to break the addiction, somebody has to teach you what the Word of God is, right?
That's absolutely right.
And that in the teaching of the Word of God, isn't that what they call religion?
It sure is.
So religion is being taught using taxpayers' money to break the bonds of addiction.
Mm-hmm. And some would say that, you know, we should be doing whatever we can to help these needy people who are sick. And I certainly agree. It becomes even more insidious because of that. It's government money, our hard-earned dollars, being used to proselytize the sick and the needy, otherwise known as the faith-based initiatives.
And it's not like this money was given to Mosque number 28 here in the city of St. Louis. So there is a selectivity that's also going on with whose God gets to break the bonds of addiction, right?
You're right. Another thing that came out of that book by the former chief of this office, David Kuo, was that a staffer there said, I'll quote her, when I saw one of those non-Christian groups in the set I was reviewing, I just stopped looking at them and gave them a zero. That's just not fair.
Well, it goes contrary to everything that they say that this country stands for, but we have to take a quick break here, Roy. I'm talking to the executive director of the American Humanist Association, Roy Spreckert. We're talking about how our Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, has given the executive branch a free pass to violate the First Amendment. Oh, yeah. That's how deep the rabbit hole goes. You need to stay with us. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I'm having a discussion with Roy Spreckert, the Executive Director of the American Humanist Association. We're talking about this recent decision coming out of the newly configured Supreme Court, 5-4 decision, Hine versus Freedom From Religion Foundation. And, Roy, I reflected all the way through the break about this notion of how this faith-based money, our tax money, is being utilized. This church, the Healing Place Church in Baton Rouge, who teaches, according to their own website, that they will assist those who are struggling with addiction to become free through the power of God. They rely solely on the foundation of the Word of God to break the bands of addiction. And what is challenging to me is the fact that it's the Word of God. I don't have any problem with anybody's belief. I think that belief and faith are important and powerful spiritual things in everybody's life. But in order to go through this program at this Healing Place Church, you have to be taught what the Word of God is, and the teaching of what the Word of God is religion. So we are using our tax-paying dollars for a church to teach religion in order to get to addiction. And the challenge to me is that I know what I'm getting ready to say will raise the hairs on sadly, on a lot of Americans, the back of their hands. So is George Bush saying that we should be able to use taxpayers' money to teach citizens in America who don't know what Islam is, to teach people Islam in order to break the bonds of addiction, to teach people Buddhism in order to, for Buddhists to teach other people, for Muslims to teach other people their faith, we pay for it in order to get at addiction. I don't think that Americans would ever be supportive of this. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree with you. Except for that, there are a lot of folks out there who quite reasonably say, well, you know, if there's this program out there and it's working, why shouldn't the government be involved in funding it?
But if you ask those people, but is there only one religion that's going to be able to benefit from it and all religions can't, then I guess that's the answer that I would be interested in hearing. You know, because it's not fair. It's not democratic that not only are we going to use religion when we're supposed to have a separation of religion and state, but we're only going to use one kind of religion.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. I mean, government shouldn't be involved in the business of deciding what's religious and what's not, because then mistakes and invariably happen. Grants are made based on religious identification rather than performance.
And so we have this decision, this 5-4 decision, Hine versus Freedom From Religion Foundation, Justices Alito, Kennedy, Scalia, Roberts, and Thomas were in the majority. Both of them, Thomas and Scalia, you know, where Scalia goes, Thomas follows, they said that they would have gone further and overturned a 1968 ruling. What ruling are they referring to?
Oh, the Flast ruling. That basically said, Flast versus Cohen, said that taxpayers can sue the government, particularly Congress, when there is a violation of a use of tax dollars in support of a religion. And so they didn't completely overturn that ruling in this latest decision, because we can still sue Congress if they make a law like that. It's just that the White House and the executive branch, which, of course, is a wide scope of and wider every day, is forbidden from being sued.
So because this was an issue that was decided on standing only,
right,
that, you know, who gets to raise this issue, is there anyone that can challenge the executive branch after this decision?
There is on some issues. Some issues will be able to find a way to challenge based on harm. That's what you have to show with standing, that there's been some kind of harm. The taxpayer harm is that our tax money has been used inappropriately. But another type of harm would be, say, a Buddhist temple that didn't get funding because they were discriminated against.
But they're a taxpayer, too, so how would they... So as a taxpayer, they would say, I have been harmed by this, and that would give
specifically denied their grant. Yeah.
Okay.
There may be a way to bring the case that way. That has to be explored, of course.
So is this fight over?
No, it's not over yet, and there's still a long way to go using bases like the one we just discussed.
So how disappointed were you with this decision?
Quite, in that there are some types of cases. Let me give you an example of one that's, though not very popular, one that we won't be able to bring. The Boy Scouts of America, which discriminates on the basis of, on two bases. They don't allow in atheists and they don't allow in gays.
Oh, I didn't know that they didn't allow in atheists.
Yeah, that's true. And they're holding a jubilee, which there's going to be something like $15 million of federal tax dollars going to help set this jubilee up in Virginia next year.
Wait a minute, slow down for a second, Roy. $15 million that our government is giving to the Boy Scouts?
That's correct. And I can't imagine any kind of other types of standing that we can come up with other than taxpayers. So that's one we're just not going to be able to bring to the courts.
Because the money is coming from the executive branch.
Exactly.
So how does the executive branch get to carve out money like that? I thought it all went through the legislature.
Well, that's there's a certain amount of restrictions on the money that they get, but they do have a pretty free rein to use the military and expenditure that they have in different ways. And
well, is this faith-based money? Why can't it be cut out by Congress in its entirety?
There is a possibility that can happen. And previous to now, there wasn't any hope for that. Of course, there's been some changes in who's elected to offices,
mm-hmm,
inside and outside the Beltway.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be some efforts in that direction. I'm not sure if the political will is there yet.
Huh. So we're talking about, not only is it this about elimination of the line separating church and state, but the Boy Scout case demonstrates that it's bigger than that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of possible cases that just won't be able to be brought now that this decision was made.
Can you give us another example?
Hmm.
We have the Boy Scout case, and we have this religious case.
Well, there's... any instance, essentially, where the government decides to spend money on religion, and it's coming from the executive branch, and you could think of just about anything under the sun where that could happen. And, you know, for instance, the Air Force case, which has been in and out of the spotlight, where they've been proselytizing recruits on certain bases, and, mm-hmm. and they've taken some actions against that. But we won't be able to bring a case on that subject from a taxpayer standing.
Do we have any comparison in history of this kind of losing this kind of challenge?
Nothing I could think of right off. But you know, there's been a lot of precedents being broken lately, unpleasantly. Whether it's prisoners' rights and civil liberties, or employers siding with the employers against past discrimination claims, and there's a lot of decisions that have just come out are really setting us back.
And finally, what did those? What was the most poignant statement made from those in the dissent in this decision of Hine versus Freedom from Religion Foundation?
Well, I guess I would say that the government, the Souter dissenting, said that when the government spends money for religious purposes, a taxpayer's injury is as serious and concrete enough to be judicially recognizable, whether or not it's Congress or the executive branch. I think that just summed it up kind of clearly in his dissent.
Mm. Well, Roy, where can people find out about the American Humanist Association?
Oh, online, you can Google Humanist or go to www.americanhumanist.org.
Very good. I want to thank you very much, Roy Sprecher, the Executive Director of the American Humanist Association, joining us from Washington to talk about this case, Hine versus Freedom from Religion Foundation. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tomorrow is going to be a very exciting day. It's the last Friday of the month. We're going to have, Wellness 101 with Dr. Rosa Kincaid, and it's going to be our food preparation day. We will be preparing our food, potato chips tomorrow, and I'm going to bring in a little something I got going on, too. So I'm going to try to, you know what, the gauntlet has been thrown down, the healthy, raw gauntlet has been thrown down, so I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to bring in a little something tomorrow as well. So that's going to be tomorrow on Wellness 101. And I've got some really exciting shows. I'm going to be off the air on Monday and Tuesday, and then, of course, Wednesday is 4th of July. But I've got some very special shows that I have put together for you. One of the shows that I want to take you down memory lane, because it's so interesting. You got to remember your history in order to be able to move forward. You got to look back in order to move forward. I love that. That's my phrase. You got to look back in order to move forward. And there's controversy going on right now concerning the fire chief, Sherman George. We did a show about 2 years ago where we had the White Firefighters Organization and the Black Firefighters Organization. We did a 2-hour show. Well, we're going to revisit that show, because right now Chief George is under attack by Francis Slay and under attack by that administration and others. And we maintained 2 years ago that this is one of the things that was happening and that it would continue to happen. And it's important that you look back in order for us to move forward. So we're going to play that show on Monday. I'm going to repeat that show because I want you to understand the challenges, the problems, the attacks, the assaults that we're experiencing today. You'll understand them clearer if you revisit this show on Monday. So on Monday, we're going to take a look back so that we can move forward. I'm not going to be here physically, but I am going to be here spiritually, and I'm going to be here energetically, letting you remember, letting you understand, letting you feel why we're in the situation that we're in. That's one of the shows that I'm going to be sharing with you in my absence. I have some other goodies that I've pulled out of my archive bag. Mama got a brand new bag, so we have some great stuff coming for you. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. Open lines for you when we come back at 454-0400-1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me, because I'm going to get at you.
Remember when you saw the homeless woman in the snow and you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you saw the news report about wounded soldiers and you almost visited the veterans hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all those times you almost helped? You meant to, but somehow you forgot. You were too busy, and it slipped your mind. Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But if you almost gave, there's a good chance everybody else almost gave, too. Which means it's quite possible there was no soup kitchen at all, that no one visited those vets, and that your neighbor never got that hot meal. Because almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Mrs. Brown.
Yes, Thomas.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I think this morning you really hit on it when y'all went on that ballpark about how Abida County will have control of it by 2046.
Isn't that something? The Good county now. Will own that stadium.
Yes, ma'am. That proved to me what I've been thinking all the time. It's a movement over a long time. See, what the most of the people believe in, something happened in a year's time. They go over a year, 50 years, or 40 years, or something like that. That's why they are moving to take this school away. They want everything privatized so the Constitution of people voting, they had no more rights.
Exactly. And when you look at, you know, I really love that show that we did this morning with the authors of the article, Public Funding for the Cardinal Stadium, the media never told
right.
the whole story. That just the fact that one of the things that they never talk about is the 5% admission tax on tickets that the city no longer collects. Just feel this. In 2005, The Cardinals paid $5 million to the city for this admissions tax. And that's the last year that we got $5 million. Do you hear me?
Right.
We don't have that. So wait a minute. How did they pay for the ballpark when over, wait a minute. What's 30 times 5? Okay? That's $150 million.
Right.
Over the course of 30 years. And that's that, and that's as is only if the tickets stayed the same price.
Right. Now, that's what I'm saying. Now, on another thing, this man, I believe that was a gentleman you had talking about this freedom of religious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. The same thing working. What they've done slowly on everything, if people watch them, watch it, that top 5% or 10% of the people in America, the rich people, are slowly working on a long-range base to take all power out of the hands of the little people.
Well, I don't have anything to add to that, Thomas.
Okay, then.
All right, you take care. Thank you for your call.
Yes, ma'am.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning, John.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
First off, you had some misinformation put out on the air in your first hour, and I just really wanted to correct that. It was the very last caller of the hour, and so he got to make a statement about Ann Coulter and Bill Maher, if you remember that.
Right, and he said that the statement that Ann Coulter made was taken out of context. She was just quoting Bill Maher, saying, well, if he got to say that about Dick Cheney, then I guess then I should be able to say that about John Edwards.
Right, yeah, that's exactly what this caller said. And the problem is you can't take Ann Coulter's characterization of Bill Maher as, you know, as gospel, because she was completely misrepresenting what Bill Maher said.
So she told a lie in order to defend a lie about a position that she was taking.
Exactly.
And so she made up something.
I have seen Bill Maher, and what he said was he was making what he said, you know, the factual comment that given Cheney's stubbornness about Iraq, that if Cheney were to have been killed in a terrorist attack, it might have ended up saving lives. That was his comment. But he went on right after that to say, don't get me wrong, I'm not wishing that Cheney was killed in a terrorist attack. I'm just saying what might have been the consequences.
And that's a far cry from her, from the caller saying that Ann Coulter is saying, well, Bill Maher got to say that Dick Cheney should be shot and killed.
Right, exactly. He said exactly the opposite. He said, I don't want him to have been shot and killed. You know, so I just, you know, one of those types of misinformation, when Ann Coulter gets to mischaracterize it, just stuck in my craw, and I had to try to get the facts.
And the other piece of it, to me, though, again, Ann Coulter is, as far as I know, an American. And that you get to live in this country, and there are certain things that you can say. My problem is not that Ann Coulter said it. My problem is that there is a media out there that would have her on as a guest, knowing the types of things that she says.
Right. Well, and it's Bill O'Reilly and all sorts of folks who get to call themselves journalists these days.
And not only journalists, how about religious people that get to come up and call for the assassination of a Hugo Chavez?
Exactly.
And then get money from our government after they say it.
Right, right. It's just, you know, the country has moved so far to the right, and the media has to take its responsibility for buying into this. So I just wanted to clear that one up. I had a couple other points I wanted to make.
Okay.
One was I had called a week or so ago about an incident that happened with my daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, she was assaulted in the city. And, you know, the assault was personally important to our family. But why I was bringing it up publicly was that the police department had downgraded the charges to peace disturbance. And it was a great example of the way that they fudge the crime statistics and, you know, show lower crime in St. Louis. Well, I just wanted to give an update on that, which is that the circuit attorney's office looked at the case, and it was clearly an assault, and the circuit attorney's office agreed that it was an assault and has decided to go ahead and press charges.
Well, then, and so then what does that do for this man? Because he turns out to be the executive director of the daycare center where your grandchild was attending.
Exactly. So, that's the kind of consequences that happen, you know, when these charges were downgraded.
So what happened?
It minimized. Well, he's been. We've reported him to the. I guess you'd call it. It's not the licensing bureau, but it's something like the Better Business Bureau for daycares.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps track of complaints and you know, charges like this against folks. So this will be in their database.
And what about the daycares? Well, what about the
daycare center is still saying that unless he's convicted, they're going to keep him on the job.
But you know what would be a lovely thing to do, John? I think there's all kinds of levels of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
How helpful would it be for parents to receive flyers on their cars about the executive director of this daycare center being charged with an assault?
We have been strategizing on that front, and the word is starting to get out to parents, and we're trying to decide, you know, what's the best way to do that. But, you know, I've thought of standing in front of the daycare with a sign.
You know, it's
our flyers are it's a great idea.
Absolutely. Just flyers on parents' cars because they all come in and park.
The parents who have heard about it so far are, you know, quite concerned about it, to say the least.
Absolutely.
And I think they have every right to know. It's one of the reasons why we followed up on this so vigorously was that parents at a daycare have the right to know that their director just completely flew off the handle, totally unprovoked,
and
assaulted a woman.
So charges will be filed.
Exactly.
What is his name, John?
His name is Michael Burns.
Michael Burns. And what is the daycare center?
The daycare is the Downtown Children's Center.
This is the Downtown Children's Center.
Right, right. Which my daughter was, you know, very happy with their services up until this happened. But needless to say, she's withdrawn her son.
Well, and see,
and again, I want to point out these are allegations still. Of course, I.
But nevertheless.
Feel like I know what happened because my daughter's told me, but he's being. It's an alleged assault.
But nevertheless, this should be something that makes it to the paper that the executive director of a child care center is charged with assault.
Right. Now that the charges are being filed, I think, you know, that's one of our next steps.
Very
for
good.
Sure. And one other good bit of news related to the police. The Board of Aldermen passed a resolution on Friday the 15th in favor of local control of the police.
A unanimous decision.
It was unanimous in the committee, 10 to nothing.
Right.
And the next day passed 22 to 1.
Very
good. On the floor of the board.
Very good.
So we have, you know, some folks out there who are just going to stand by the police department no matter what.
But not a whole lot. But not a whole lot.
Overwhelmingly. And some of the folks who supported this local control resolution were adamant opponents of civilian review and stand by the rank-and-file police on many issues. But this one, it was obvious to them.
Local control. It's you know, it's clear to everybody but an idiot. I mean, come on. Who's supposed to control your police department but the city where the police department is?
Yeah, we've got the governor and legislators up in Jeff City from outstate Missouri making, you know, minutia decisions about our police department. It just makes no sense.
But we have people that live here and take our money for paychecks running up there and trying to curry favor with them. You know,
that's exactly how this kind of thing happens, because you take money up to Jeff City and you've got a legislator from outstate who has no constituents that he's responsible to
when it comes
to the police.
That's right.
So he doesn't much care what happens, and he's willing to horse trade.
There you go.
Make me a donation or support me on another bill, and what do I care about St. Louis Police Department?
John, thank you so much.
Yeah, you take care.
All right, now, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. Tell you what, we're coming to another end of another show. That's all right. We got a whole lot of stuff coming at you for next week. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. As always, I want to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for listening. And I will be here same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, and don't forget, tomorrow is our food preparation day on Wellness 101, our food preparation day, Wellness 101. You don't want to miss that. Potato chips, just feel this. Feel this. I've made these potato chips, and I can testify with my right hand in the air that they have changed my world. You can eat as many of these potato chips as you want, as you can eat them until you can't, you can no longer have the strength to lift your hand, and you will not gain one single pound. You will not gain one single pound. Ask yourself, how many pounds do you gain by eating a raw potato? Zero. So you can eat as many of these potatoes as you want, and then there will not be one pound that you gain. These are magic potato chips. These are magic potato chips. I'm telling you. Testifying. You need to be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock when Dr. Rosie Kincaid comes in and we do our raw potato chips. And they're good. And they're good. I have to fight people off of them. For real. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more